grace that transforms the life of a man. You would help us, oh God, even to encounter you tonight in the name of Jesus. Bestow upon us, oh God, fresh grace, oh God, for the next level of assignment, oh God, in the name of Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to have everyone with us today. Welcome, Sister Simi. Good to see your beautiful face again. Thank you so much,
thank
Ma.
You.
We appreciate thank your you. Presence. We thank you for joining us once again. This is the second time we are meeting you on this platform, and you've been a tremendous blessing to us all. So you all are thank welcome, you. Ladies. My name is Afolakemi, okay? I reside in Calgary, Canada, and I'm the visionary for this forum. And the major focus of our forum, this is a purposeful group that is mandated by God. And what we do majorly is to share and to learn and to improve ourselves, to become a better version of ourselves through the grace and the help of the Holy Spirit. So ladies, this is another a glorious platform. And I'm so happy. I'm glad that you all are here with us today. And welcome everyone. God bless you. And let's sit back and enjoy this amazing and a gloriously packaged conference that the Lord has packaged for us to enjoy today. So sit back and let's have an amazing and refreshing time in the presence of God. So thank you all, ladies, and you are welcome once again. So over to you, Patricia.
Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us today. Thank you, Unstoppable Group Women. Thank you, Pastor Simi, for being here. I just want to say welcome to everybody. And just like Asfola has said, we're not going to waste too much time. We're just going to dive in and enjoy what God has planned for us today. But before we continue, I just want everybody to take 1 minute and just tell God, as your word come, let that word in season locate me as your word come through your daughter. Let's take 1 minute and ask God for that one word that will transform you, that one word that will change everything about you, that God will use Sister Simi as his pen, that for everything she's going to teach us today is coming directly from the throne of grace. Let's ask God for that. His word in season for us. His word in season is what we need. His word in season is what is going to change, is what is going to make a big difference in this conference. This conference is not going to be like every other one we've attended before. No. God's word in season is locating us. Ask from the depth of your heart. The Bible says, when we ask, we shall receive. So we ask, when we don't have, it's because we don't ask. Let's open our mouth. He has given us a mouth that we should use to ask from him. Let's ask for that word in season. That word in season is what we desire as the speech comes to us this afternoon. Thank you, precious Lord, because we know your daughters have asked and you have answered us already. To you alone be all the glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
Amen.
Everyone. And I know your heart is ready to hear from Sister Simi. Before we go on, I'm just going to give a brief citation of the woman of God God is going to use to bless us this afternoon. Sister Simin is a chartered secretary and administrator. She worked for over 10 years as a program coordinator in Lagos Business School. She then dabbled into trading for a few years before she started Simple Admin Solution, an admin consulting enterprise. She has been a Christian for over 30 years, and she currently lives as the co-pastor of the Center of Christ Church, where she also heads the junior church. She has been happily married to her sweetheart, Shola, for 26 years. Both of them have engaged in handling premarital classes and counseling for over 20 years. That is who God is using to bless us this afternoon. And for this session, she'll be talking about marriage and family, which is a great, great part of our everyday lives. So put your hands together, loud, loud for Jesus as we welcome Sister Simi to take the stage. Sister Simi, the stage is yours.
Well, thank you very much. I'm really pleased to be here with all of you. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, we can.
Okay. I just needed to be sure. Thank you very much. It took me a bit of time getting to be able to log in, so I apologize. I was ready before time, but here I am. I do not take this opportunity to share with us. It's not just you. I'm also going to be reminding myself of some of the truths. And I'm not going to be sharing things that are strange per se to us or strange even to me. They're things that I have learned over the years. They're things that the Lord impressed upon my heart. And I thank my sister Folake for giving me this opportunity. And I say congratulations for you, to you, to everyone that is part of the Unstoppable Women's Group. I bless God for all of you, and I give God thanks that you have given, that God has given you this mandate and given you this vision. And it's 1 year. It's not a joke. You know, you look back very soon and you'll be like 5 years, 10 years, as Jesus tarries, 20 years, 25 years. And my prayer is that it doesn't just exist for the lifetime of all of you, but that it's something that for generations to come, you'll be able to still be, the things that you will learn will impact generations to come positively. In Jesus' name, amen. We have already prayed, so I want to, let's just dive in. Mr. Folake has given me a topic to discuss. She says the unstoppable family made great by grace. And you know, when I was given the topic, I kept on pondering and wondering and asking the Lord more or less, what am I supposed to share? Because it's not just to say, okay, this is the topic, let's just look at it, let's just put it down. I was like, okay, what am I supposed to be sharing? What do you want to tell your daughters? And, you know, initially I felt that an unstoppable family, I would define it as time goes on. But basically I felt that, these are the things that maybe this would be it. And I just kept on thinking about it and looking at it and wondering. But a few days ago, he gave me something different. And that is what I'm going to be sharing as time goes on. But here's the background on the issue of family, on the issue of marriage. Like was said, for over 20 years, and that was when we handled premarital counseling classes in our former church. And before then, it's interesting that I used to counsel people about marriage and relationship even before I got into any. But it's something that we had done for many years. However, as we were handling the premarital counseling classes, there was something that we noticed and we observed that was, there were issues that were very identical in different relationships that we had to deal with. And those five areas are even also constantly covered in books that deal with marriage, that deal with relationships. And what are those five areas? Not in order of importance, just as they came to me. There's communication, there's finance, there's sex, there's conflict resolution, and third-party interference. I'm sure you'll all agree with me. Those are five major areas that can be time bombs, and if you don't handle them properly. But if you handle them very well, I can assure you that these are five areas that, to a large extent, if they are sorted out well, you definitely will have a wonderful time in marriage. I go over them again. Communication, finance, sex, conflict resolution, and third-party interference. I'm sure we all know that third-party interference nowadays is not just in-laws. Sometimes it's your job. Sometimes it's the telephone. It can be a third-party interference. They're different ones. But let me just continue. So for me, the word unstoppable conjures in my mind that something is moving, that there's movement. It conjures in my mind that even as the movement is going on, unstoppable means that there's something trying to stop it. So it's like sometimes things are thrown at it. Sometimes situations come across it. Sometimes it's circumstances are trying to stop that movement. So unstoppable means that there is a goal, there is an aim or a target that is being considered and being pursued or being headed for. And that unstoppable, as defined by the Bible, by the dictionary, says that it is incapable of being stopped. So there is an attempt to stop something. There is an attempt to stop a goal, more or less. That's what comes to my mind when I think of the word unstoppable. And there are different synonyms for unstoppable: impregnable, bulletproof, insurmountable, invincible, invulnerable, and unbeatable. You know, those are some of the words. So in short, you're saying, what is that unbeatable family? What is that bulletproof family? You see, so obviously something needs to be protected. Now, then there's the word family. So we thank God for social studies, because when I was much younger, you know, the idea of what family is, father, mother, and so many children, whatever number of children. But social studies, at least that's what it was called when I was in primary school and secondary school, tells you that there's an extended family. But basically, the dictionary, Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it says that it's the basic, there are different definitions. And it says that, one, the basic unit in society traditionally consisting of two parents rearing their children. That's the traditional definition of family. Then it also means any of the various social units differing from or regarded as equivalent to the traditional family. For example, a single parent family. Those are some. Then there's also sometimes our family units also consist of a group of individuals under one roof and usually having one head. So basically a household. So when we're talking about unstoppable family, I want us to just look beyond my husband, myself, and our children. The people that come across your life, the people that stay in your home, those are some of the ones that are also part of your family, as long as they're under your roof. So there is a reason. They are there. They're part of your family for that season and time. So those, it's not just my husband or my children and whatever happens to anybody who stays with us is their business. No. So now, what is an unstoppable family to me, my definition? So for me, an unstoppable family is a family that has a God-given mandate. And even though circumstances and situations are aiming to derail it, it's one where the members set their faces like flint and depend on God's grace to reach that goal. We can't do it in our own power. So I need to just say that. Now, each step of the way, they're consulting the one who gave them the mandate. They're consulting God. They're drawing strength from him daily. You know, this is where grace comes in, because we said made great by grace. Grace, we say, is unmerited favor, but it comes from God. So we can sometimes do everything right and it still falls short. But where grace comes in is that even when you don't do it right, but you have a right heart attitude, you find out that grace steps in for you. So basically, we're on a journey. We have an aim. Our families, there's a reason why we have a family. There's a reason why you married this person. There's a reason why your children have been given to you. There's a reason why maybe a sibling is staying with you, or even your in-law, maybe a parent-in-law or somebody like that is staying with you. There is a reason for it. So don't just take it for granted that so long as my husband and I are fine with our children, fine. There is a reason why somebody under your household is staying with you. Now, before we get into the meat of today's session, I would like to ask you, what is the purpose for which your family was set up for? What purpose was it set up to achieve? What is the God-given mandate that you were given? What goal are you aiming for? These are questions that I would like you to think about. Don't just think about it. I will explain why. You know, and just in case, like many people, you're finding out that you did not even, you just saw this person, we married, we love ourselves, God said we should, blah, 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 for whatever reason. But just in case you just think that, no, we haven't even thought about it. What achieving? We're making money. Let's just live our daily lives. Please, there's much more to being married and why you're in that family than you realize. And so I implore you, in case you do not know, you haven't really found out what you're supposed to be doing, I implore you to find out, ask questions. Maybe while we're going, write it down so you don't forget. And then after the seminar, after today's sessions, go back and look at it and ask, why am I married? Why did I get married? Let me share a personal story as to where this is coming from. You know, early on in life, just before I got married, well, a few months before, I was coming back from work. Then my work was in an estate and I chose to walk the distance to the bus stop. That was usually like maybe about half a kilometer or 3/4 of a kilometer. And, you know, now I'm in a relationship leading to marriage. It looks like, everything, you know, and we live happily ever after. And, you know, one of the things that crossed my mind on that particular, I haven't forgotten it. And we're talking of, let's say, almost 28 years now. I haven't forgotten it. At that point in time, it dawned on me. So you're going to get married. Okay, fine. And then after you get married, what? Then you have children. Then what? And, you know, it occurred to me that, okay, so you train those children. And if you have children, depending on what, how long you've been married, for some of them, they're like already going, they don't even need you that much any longer. They're already in school. Some of them are in boarding house. Some of them are in university. And you just realize at the end of the day that it's just you and your husband. And you're beginning to wonder what's going on. So it depends. It matters to find out exactly why you are in that relationship. So that was a day. That was one thing that it really dawned on me that day, that there's more marriage than having children. Do you understand? And then so basically, I realized on that day that God created us for so much more than I meet my husband, I meet my Prince Charming, we have our two boys and our two girls, and we're perfect, and whatever, we name them the same name, and then we live happily ever after. I discovered that day that there's so much more. So now I'd like to remind us that the purpose for which God created us. I'd like to read from Genesis 1, verses 26 to 27. They're popular verses, and I will read basically from the New King James Version. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image." I'm reading Genesis 1, 26 to 27. "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. That's Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27 in the New King James Version. So God's first purpose for creating man and woman and joining them in marriage was to mirror his image on earth. The Hebrew word for mirror means to reflect God, to magnify God, to exalt him and glorify him. Is your marriage doing this? Can you honestly say that your marriage is doing this? I'd like you to think about it. Your marriage should reflect God's image to a world that desperately needs him, to people who are seeking. People should look at us, look at our marriage, look at our conduct, and get a glimpse of what it means to be like God. I'm serious. We need to realize that our character matters much more than just in church, much more than when we're with when we're with our fellow sisters and brothers. No. People should look at us and be able to get a glimpse of God. So that is one of the reasons, major reasons, why God brought us into marriage. It's not just we're just married. You know, we're just tolerating ourselves. That's not marriage. So every member of your family has an individual purpose to achieve. So I implore you once again, if you have not yet started asking those questions about their purpose and yours, please ask today. And after the conference is over, like I said earlier on, please go ahead and just think about it and ponder. And it's not very far. It's usually something that you're used to. Like I said, from when I was about 16, 17, I was not in any relationship. I used to advise people, courtesy of the fact that my immediate older sister is 5 years older than me and we were quite close. So I used to advise people about relationships. I didn't have a boyfriend. That's the truth of the matter. But I used to advise people. So what I'm doing today is not exactly strange. It's something that the Lord has been preparing me. So what is it that you enjoy doing? What do you enjoy doing as a family? You could inquire of God, and you never can tell. It could be something that may be your purpose. Now, like I said earlier on, the five core areas: communication, finances, sex, conflict resolution, and third-party interference, they're all important. I'm not belittling them. And quite honestly, if I go into those ones on their own are topics that will take the whole of the conference. We can't finish talking about them. But that's not where I'm going to be talking about today. Let me just mention them. I'll touch them briefly. For example, marriage is said to be 85% communication, 85%. And we already know about verbal and nonverbal communication. And we know very well that our nonverbals are louder than our verbals, you know. So we already know quite a lot of those things. That's not where I'm going. And to get it right in even the other four areas, in sex and finances, we need communication. In third-party interference, we need communication. So it's very, very important. Finances cannot be ignored. Finances are necessary. Even the Bible acknowledges in Ecclesiastes 7:12 that wisdom, money is a defense. Wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. Money is necessary. So I'm not belittling that fact. And quite a number of marriages have had a lot of stress because of money. So we know it is important. That's not where I'm going today, because I have a feeling that you already know these things. You know, sex, of course, is very necessary. Sex on its own is another topic that we can sit down and we can decide that the whole of the conference we're going to discuss sex, and we still will not finish it. So it is important. Sex is very, very important. So I'm not saying that, of course, we don't base our marriages on that. But basically, sex is important. It's supposed to be enjoyed. It's supposed to be a loving place. It gives us endorphins. It makes us happy and all that. And of course, we procreate through that. So basically, those are some of those areas. Conflict resolution is important. And I will talk about that. How to handle, not how to handle, but some of the things that conflict resolution, how, if it's not handled properly, can affect us. So where am I going? We're getting to where I am going today. All this my grammar, all this my Turenchi. Where is it going? It's going to this area. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 16. So I'll read from both the New King James Version and the Passion Translation, TPT. So the first of all, the New King James Version, it says, catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. That's Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15 in the New King James Version. Now, in the Passion Translation, it says, you must catch the troubling foxes, those sly little foxes that hinder our relationship. For they raid our budding vineyard of love to ruin what I've planted within you. Will you catch them and remove them from me? We will do it together. So where am I going? Like I said, I've been preparing along one route, and then the Lord impressed upon my heart to share on this. Now, we're not neglecting, like I said, those five, the five biggies, I call them, communication, sex, conflict resolution, third-party interference, finances. I'm not ignoring them. I'm not saying that they're not important, but I know that a lot of things have been dealt with that. But if you look at this verse of scripture, is talking about little foxes. So today I'm going to be sharing about little foxes. Those things that if we don't deal with them, they can actually make a big mess of everything we have built. That's where I'm going. They're the things that we think, the things that we say, the things that we do, those little things. I'll define them a bit more. There's this quote that I will also quote. It's not in the Bible. It's in the book, The War of Acts by Sun Tzu or so. I don't know how to pronounce the name, but it's a quote that maybe some of us already know. It says, if you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself, but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle. Where am I going? I said little foxes. If you do not know the enemy, we're going to lose the battles. If we do not know ourselves, then defeat is certain. That's what I'm saying. Now, little foxes are the many factors that can get in the way of a good marriage. Little ones. They're often small and unnoticed. They're small. You know, they're small things that make their way into our relationships. That's what I'm talking about. Now, when we think of a fox, we always think of something sly. Maybe in Nigeria, I'm not sure whether we have too many foxes in Nigeria, but I know that abroad you do have foxes. I've seen some of them. They look, you know, even when they're moving, they look very shifty. They're crafty. That's what, and now the Bible is telling us to catch the little foxes. Because as with all animals, they start little and all things being equal, they will grow. Once they're in the vineyard, in our family, in our relationship, if we do not catch them, they're little, they look cute. You know, when they start, they look like you can ignore them. They look like sometimes they just come in craftily, but then they're the ones that spoil the big things. Now, let's imagine that our marriage relationship or a relationship with other family members are vines, and the grapes are the character, our fruit. The fox comes in and carries away the fruit. The fox comes in and takes away some of the characters. So, for example, things like little flaws, maybe selfishness. You know, selfishness doesn't start out big. It starts sometimes from when you are very little. And sometimes you don't even think of it as selfishness. You're just like, hey, he did it, and so I'm not going to give you. You know, there's some things like that. They're the little ones, like they start out little, unforgiveness. They start out with their thoughts, bitterness, jealousy, dishonesty, and harmful habits and addictions. We are getting to realize that there are a lot more. I know there's nobody like that on drugs or anything like that, but sometimes I know somebody that was very close to me when I was growing up that was addicted to over-the-counter medications, you know, a lot of paracetamol and all that, any little thing, headache, any little thing, body ache, any little thing, whatever, you know, constantly using paracetamol and so on. So, but now is when I knew that it was an addiction. But then it was general body aches. And basically, so those are some of it. Now, I would only, because of time, I'm going to just touch on a few of these things, but you will get the message. One of the tiny little foxes that I will start out with that we need to be very careful about is keeping malice. I know that quite a number of couples do that, keeping malice. It is a tiny little fox. It starts out little. It starts out with not talking to yourselves for a few hours. Then before long, you do it overnight. Then you do it 2 weeks. All of a sudden, you're doing it for quite a long time. And God forbid, that is where irreconcilable differences come up. You know, it has gotten to that stage where a couple can no longer talk to themselves. But it started as a little fox, keeping malice, justifying how we feel. Now, let me share personally. I learned how not to keep malice because of my husband. Before we married, my goodness, I could keep malice. I told him I could keep malice. He said he had capacity for me. And I was like, okay, I will test that capacity. However, when we got married, one thing my husband laid down the law was that, before I say that, I realized with marriage, it takes two to keep malice. If one person is hell-bent on not keeping malice, you won't keep that malice. That's one thing I learned. So before, like I said, he laid down the law. We're not going to go to bed with unresolved issues. I thought it was a joke. But I can honestly tell you, to the best of my recollection, in 26 years of marriage, we don't go to bed with unresolved issues. Where did it start? From early on in marriage. If there was any misunderstanding or disagreement, my husband always took it upon himself to discuss it. And I'm a typical woman. What's the problem? I'll say nothing. Meanwhile, like, he would tell me, my face is looking like thunder and I'm busy saying nothing. Even when it is a case, and I had my reasons, I found it difficult to express myself. You're now newly married. How do you tell this person that what he did was wrong? Or maybe it was his sister that did something. How do you tell him that somebody offended you? You know, so I had a lot of things that I was thinking in my head. And when he says, what's the matter? I just say nothing. But he always approached the matter. And he'll be like, no, you know, we can't go to bed. We need to discuss it. Both of us, okay, I used to work on the island. He worked on the mainland. But he'll first go and drop me on the island before coming back to the mainland to his office. So we're going to work early in the morning. And we'll be there talking. We would have to talk about it. There's a classic one that we never forgot. We spent at least 4 hours. We spent about 4 hours plus trying to resolve one matter. I can assure you that the first 1 hour or two, both of us were not understanding ourselves. But one of the things we always did, where grace comes in, is that we always maybe prayed under your tongue or in your mind, and we are asking God, help me, how do I tell this person this one? And you're praying under your tongue and you're discussing, and it was like for 4 hours. And we're going to wake up very early the following morning again to start going to work. At one point in time, I'll tell him, I'm sorry. And my husband, you know, for some of us, when we want to resolve this thing, we'll say, I'm sorry now. I should have said sorry. You know, so what's the big deal? I should have said sorry. You see, for my husband, You say sorry, he will say why. I'm like, hey, yeah. Meanwhile, I wasn't sorry. You know? So he knew. And for that particular one, he did 4 hours. However, the beautiful thing with those 4 hour, with that 4 hour, what's it called, resolution, or those resolutions, was that the matter was usually thrashed such that it did not really reoccur. If it reoccurred again, then we knew that we hadn't gotten to the bottom of it and we would thrash it. Do you understand? And we went on like that. And what has happened over the years, those sessions of handling misunderstanding or whatever became fewer and very far between. Understanding was built. But malice, if we had kept it, we would have, it wouldn't be the same. So malice is one of those little foxes. Another one is pride. Pride makes you feel that you're better than the other person. Pride makes you feel that, listen, in this case, where your husband is concerned, you know it. So what's he saying? What's he trying to say? That, you know, so basically, or it may be the other way around. It may be your spouse that feels very proud. However, the ability to look inwards, where if you are the one that is being prideful, the ability to look inwards is a great step towards nourishing your relationship. You need to be aware enough to recognize and correct your flaws and shortcomings. Recognize them. It's very, very important. Before fixating on those of your spouse, I will do it when he stops getting angry. I will do this when he too stops. He too, he said this one. It's not tit for tat. Marriage is not tit for tat. And I'm not saying this because I want to justify the other person. No, it's for your own good. So before fixating on your spouse's shortcomings, first look inwards. Now, the sting of pride can make it really hard to do that. It's so much easier to point the finger and shift the blame. But the moment you let go of that responsibility to assess yourself, you've let go of your relationship. Because no matter what the issue at hand is, it takes two. It usually is two of you that have an issue in that relationship on the issue of pride. So it matters. Pride is very subtle. It is very, very subtle. Proud people don't even usually know until it has become a really big thing that they are proud. And for some people, take pride in being proud. And it's wrong. The Bible says the Lord resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So if you want God to resist you, continue being prideful. Now, there's also the interpersonal relationships. Now that we're married, we're together in the house, there's nowhere we can disappear to. And then after a while, we begin to, what's it called? Talk to ourselves anyhow. Interpersonal relationships. Sadly, many people are nicer to outsiders than they are to their family members. And women are guilty of this. Many of them are more respectful towards their pastor or towards an elder in church than to their husband. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be at all. We've gotten the shoes on the other foot. You know, we do our best with outsiders. And then we talk to our family members anyhow. And we expect them to understand. And, you know, interpersonal relationships on this matter, I ask, do we apologize when we hurt one another? Do we do that? Do we pray to God for forgiveness? Do we try to stop ourselves from doing something we knew we shouldn't do that won't please God? Those are some of the little foxes that I'm talking about. They can spoil and even destroy our relationship. Do you understand? Now, we're trying to develop Christ-like relations qualities. And these little foxes bite at them. They take at them. For example, are you being patient with your spouse? I'm talking about interpersonal relations. Because the other thing, again, is we begin to take ourselves for granted. I'll talk a bit more about that, time permitting. Are we harboring unforgiveness? Are we harboring offense? You know, let me put it like this. There's this saying that says forgive and forget. I'm sorry, I don't belong in the school of thought of forgive and forget. I belong to the school of thought of forgive. Where the issue of forgetting comes is, you have done something, it will happen. You will remember it. But where the forgetting comes is that the sting of that relationship over time reduces when you have truly forgiven and received forgiveness or received healing for that hurt. such that you can remember a situation, and after a while, you and your spouse can even laugh about it or whatever, then you know that you're truly healed. So it's not a case of forgiving and forgetting. However, let me not digress. Unforgiveness is another little fox that, if it is not handled properly in our homes, it can cause havoc. And usually it starts from the inside. You know, unforgiveness, it's a little thought. Majority of these things I'm saying, when they start, you know, we sometimes justify them. It's a little one. It's a little fox. It doesn't look too big. It doesn't look like it's anything. It looks negligible. You know, unforgiveness, the person did something wrong, so I'm not going to forgive. Okay, no problem. Well done. And if you're not careful, unforgiveness affects you much more. And like I said, it starts from the inside. If you're not careful, psychosomatic diseases begin. For example, somebody hurts you. You are the one developing headache. You're the one not sleeping. You're the one having insomnia. Somebody maybe, and in this case, I'm not just talking about just your relationship in marriage. All these things can be applied to other relationships. You know, unforgiveness will be such that all of a sudden people have high blood pressure. It happened to me personally. There was a time I went to a hospital. I needed to do a routine blood pressure check. And I chose to go in the evenings because of my schedule. And I remember that there was this doctor that, in my mind, just your pride, I just thought this one, truly, he used to behave like he was the first one that went to school in his family. And then, of course, he studied medicine. And he had no business with me because all I had to do was go to the nurse's station, blah, blah, blah. And I overheard him talking that day. And he said, why does she come? You know, he goes, why does she keep coming every evening? So the nurse says, oh, she has to take her blood pressure reading, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't she know? She should know she should be coming in the morning. And so on. You see, I was boiling on the inside. That was the day I knew that anger, you know, annoyance. He wasn't talking to me, but he made sure I heard, you know. And I was so annoyed. Honest to God, I had to do this for a space of like about 2 weeks. That particular day, my blood pressure reading shot up. It was high. The lady had to tell me, calm down, sit down, do this, whatever. That day didn't go down. But as I was driving back home, it occurred to me, I said, one has to be really careful. Because I was angry. That was the first time I connected the two together. I didn't have a word with him. I bottled it on the inside. Do you understand? But I was angry. And my blood pressure went up. And many of us are keeping anger day in, day out. You know, it's seething on the inside. On the inside, it's like a volcano rumbling. The day it erupts, my goodness, there's destruction in two. So unforgiveness and bitterness affect only one person, mainly you. So you need to realize it's a little fox you cannot afford at all. Then there's some other little foxes. I would appreciate if you let me know when it's getting to the Q&A time so that I begin to round up. But I think I'm still doing well. I want to believe I'm still doing well. Hallelujah. Amen. Unrealistic expectations. Many of us come into marriage with expectations, ignoring the personality of who we have married and the character of the person we have married. Now, when the spouse is unable to meet those expectations, if we aren't careful, resentment sets in. It's usually, like I said, seething on the inside. It's there, just there. You know, what's the matter with him? See how he's even sitting. What kind of nonsense? If I had known, no, I won't have married this person. You see, it's a little fox, but it's rumbling in the belly. It's taking the grapes. It's taking your joy. It's taking those grapes away, little by little. That's another one that causes stress. I need to mention this. I know that to a large extent, I want to believe it's not happening, but I have this impression to mention this particular little fox. Well, there is a group of them, pornography, gambling, and other addictions. Those harmful addictions, I feel impressed to mention it. Why am I saying that? In the last few months or recently, let me put it recently, I've realized that quite a number of couples watch pornography to be able to enhance their sex life. It shouldn't be so, my sisters. It shouldn't be so. God has given you your body And I can honestly tell you that if you will ask God, many of us discuss different things. Sex is one of those things that I think a lot of people don't discuss with God. And he's the author of marriage. So people are using pornography to try and get ideas, to try and see how you stimulate. I'm not going to go into the demerits of pornography. Well, maybe not gambling, but pornography. I'm not going to go into those demerits. But basically, at the end of the day, it destroys. Pornography leads to masturbation. Masturbation, of course, leads to the fact whereby your partner can no longer adequately satisfy you. You need an urge to constantly do this to yourself, touch yourself, get your own fulfillment. And so we've had to handle a few situations like that, whereby, the guys can't even, once they try to penetrate, everything just goes flat. Why? Because they were heavily into masturbation. And of course, if your children have access to that, you can imagine what happens. My husband and I we just completed Bible school and the Kenneth Hagin Rema Bible Training Center. And one of the classes was taught by a particular guy that said he got into pornography because his parents used to watch it and he was maybe under 10. And till he was an adult, for many years, he was addicted and needed to use the word. It's not just deliverance. He needed to use the word of God to get away from that habit. It held him bound for years because he just couldn't help himself. And there are different things that it leads to, but that's not what I'm saying. It starts with experimentation. Let's just look at it a bit. Let's just do this and whatever. And then if you're not careful, all of a sudden, people that are supposed to be Christians are suddenly practicing open marriage, whereby we can have different partners and so on and so forth. All of a sudden, they're practicing threesomes. This was years ago, I heard somebody, we attended a Christian marriage seminar, and she says, her husband says that he wants to bring another woman so that they can have a threesome. This is here in Nigeria, not in Bolando. These were Nigerians. And it seems strange, but I'm told that it's happening a bit more frequently now. So it's important that we don't go down that line. So I felt impressed to mention that we shouldn't get into pornography for the sake of looking for ideas. I can tell you personally, I will tell you this, 18 years into our marriage, of course, 18 years of being married to the same person, this is the person that I've had sex with. I was the person that I had sex, we got married and that's when we had sex and all that, 18 years. After a while, it gets boring. And it was getting boring. But I can honestly tell you, it was something we prayed about. Not that we held hands and prayed together. We both discussed it and then prayed about it. And it was something I discussed with God. I can honestly tell you, 18 years into my marriage, I got a new lease of enjoying sex with my husband. And it still hasn't waned. If it begins to wane, ask God for help. That's what I'm saying. Don't go into pornography. So please, I just felt that it's very important that I mention that. And then there's so many other foxes, little foxes that I would just lump up. There's lack of boundaries. There's especially where family members are concerned. There's lack of communication. There's taking one another for granted. All of a sudden, you're treating your spouse like the person is your brother. Just taking the person for granted. There's over familiarity. There's what I put there. The person is just there. What I put here is see finish syndrome. It doesn't matter. I'm going out, unlike when, if you look at it, look at your relationship now and when you first married, fine, there'll be some changes, but is it better now or is it better? Are you looking at the good old days or are you enjoying what it is? So there's that one, there's little fox of technology, our mobile phones, those phones, people are walking on the road and they're texting, people are driving, they're texting, there's selfishness, demanding that our needs are met at the expense of the union. There's some dishonesty, little white lies. I'm going to the mall and then you do this. Or shopping. You're hiding what you're buying. That's also an addiction, apparently. You're hiding what you're buying and all that. So there's dishonesty. And dishonesty affects intimacy. If you break trust, it's like removing a link from a chain. That chain unravels. you know. So that's another one. Having a business transaction mentality. While I was preparing for this, that I saw this. Having a business transaction mentality where your marriage is concerned is, I will do this if you will do that. If you do not do that, I will do it. I mean, I won't do it. So there's so many. Now, before I go into, I'm looking at the time now. One of the things is that we think I mentioned something earlier on where my husband was concerned in conflict resolution. I mentioned the fact that he used to initiate resolution. He was doing it. Let me tell you how long he did it for. He did it for at least about 10 years, whereby whether I offended or he offended, he was the one that always apologized and always brought it up. And, you know, for years he did it until I started to become a big girl. I grew. There was a day I felt there was a misunderstanding and I initiated communication. So sometimes it was a strong point for him. It wasn't for me. But for that point, there are other areas that are a strong point for me and not for him. And we complement each other. So that's basically what I'm talking about. Now, let me begin to round up and say this. I will read the scriptures and then I would also mention them because we're talking about an unstoppable family that is made great by grace. And I have already highlighted quite a number of little foxes. The marriage, yes, they're the big ones that we should concentrate on. But then there are those little foxes that really, really matter. There are those little ones that if we do not deal with them, they actually mess up our marriages. They mess up a relationship, whether marriage or otherwise. They mess up relationships. And those are the ones I have been mentioning before now. Now, before we round up, I want us to read these two scriptures. There's I'll read 1 Peter 3:10 in the New King James Version and the Passion Translation. 1 Peter 3:10, it says, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." For the scriptures tell us, that's now the Passion Translation, whoever wants to embrace true life and find beauty in each day must stop speaking evil, hurtful words, and never deceive in any way. Always turn from what is wrong and cultivate what is good. Eagerly pursue peace in every relationship, making it your prize. That's 1 Peter 3:10 to 11 in the Passion Translation. Four things: refrain from evil. Stop doing it for tax. Never deceive in what you say. Don't deceive. There's no two ways about it. Trust is extremely important in a union. Always turn from what is wrong. And lastly, eagerly pursue peace in every relationship. Now, I'm going to close with this. That's Psalm 127, verses 1 to 2. We all know it. And that is where the issue of grace comes. Everything I have said above, whether communication, finances, conflict resolution, sex, whether keeping out the little foxes of malice, unresolved, unmet expectations, unrealistic expectations, anger, addictions, whatever it is, everything I have said, this verse of scripture ties it in. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. What am I saying? Being able to build a home that is worthy of praise demands that you find out what your calling is, to find out your purpose. Being able to find out your purpose, you can't do it by yourself. Like I said at the beginning, we need to go back to the great architect who is God. Now, you have to commit to developing that relationship. You need to get intimate with the Holy Spirit. You need to depend on God to be able to do the things that I have said. You, if not, would have run the race in vain. And so I would like us to just close with that. I would like us to close with just, let's just have a word of prayer. Basically, I have said a lot of things. And I have mentioned and highlighted little foxes. Let's just begin to pray. I have mentioned and I have highlighted little foxes. And even as I spoke, there were some things that you have said that you realized. And you realize that, listen, she's saying certain things. Some places are hit, some places it didn't have concern you. But those little foxes, don't let them steal away your grapes. Don't let them steal away your joy. Don't let them steal away the things that are important in marriage, in your life, in your relationships. Don't let those things, those little flaws, damage great relationships. It's not worth it. So I want you to just ask God to help you. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord builds your home, you are doing it in vain. So it's important that we develop a relationship. Don't be too busy for God. It's very, very important. I also need to mention at this point, that while I was preparing, I had this impression that somebody needs to retrace her steps. It's like you have taken a stand. You have taken a decision in anger. You have taken a decision because you have hurt. You have been hurt. And now you are realizing it is wrong. But you are realizing your ego is stepping in the way. And it's causing you to just stick to it and say, no, I'm not going to take a step back. Please, I implore you. The Lord would have you just retrace your steps. Ask him to heal you. The reward that you're looking for has to come from God, not from man, not from your husband, not from any individual. It comes from God. I want us to just commit ourselves into God's hand. Father, we thank you for this session. I thank you, Lord, because you have been with us from the beginning of the session. I thank you because you have taught us. I thank you because you have spoken to us. And Lord, I lift up my sisters before you, and I ask in the name of Jesus that you help us, oh God, to guard our home. Help us, oh God, even to make sure that the hedge, oh God, does not allow in foxes, the foxes that we have listed out and those that you also know. Father God Almighty, thank you for building our homes. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your grace. Even Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we bless you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so very much, Sister Simi, for that amazing, 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 amazing teaching. Ladies, please round of applause for Sister Simi. Thank you so much. Yeah, we learned a lot.
Thank you, in my opinion,
I learned so much in this last 45 minutes. Thank you so much for taking out the time. Without wasting too much time, we're going to take questions. I sent the ladies to send in their questions, so then we have it in an orderly fashion. Then you can take one at a time. So we have 15 minutes for you to answer questions. And ladies, if at the end of 15 minutes we couldn't take your question, I'm going to apologize in advance. We'll send in Sister Simi's email so you can get in touch with her or through Sister Fola. But I'm going to try as much as I can to get all the questions that I will get sent in to her. Sister Bey, you said you had a question.
Sorry, I was trying to send you a message. I was looking at where to do it.
No worries. Go ahead now, please.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Quickly, first and foremost, I would like to say thank you, Sister Simi. Because for the little foxes, something just happened right now. You guys will see that I was like getting angry. My little kid was trying to, he got in and he was trying to disturb me. And I was trying to tell my husband, please help me. I'm in a meeting. And all of a sudden, he just left the house. And my son, I was like, where's your daddy? He said he left already. I resolved in my mind that I was going to type my message that I will do my own. When you two are having a meeting, I will open the door and let the kids in. God is my witness. That was what I said in my mind. And she was just talking. I said, marriage is not for a tit for tat. I'm like, thank you for that. As little as it was, I was really bent in my mind that I was going to do my own back. But I'm forgiving him now. My question is, when we have issues, my husband is not the talking type. He doesn't talk much. But me, I can talk from now to next month. But we had issue, I'm hurting. Then in the night, he comes and says, let us pray. Then I'm like, pray, why? How? How can we pray? To who? because at that time I'm not in the mood for prayer and I cannot even close my eyes to do anything. I'm boiling. And he will say, let us pray first. So how do you handle, how do you come to a compromise like that? I am boiling. He doesn't even see a big deal. He's saying, let us pray. Should I pray first and say my mind, or I should just keep on saying my mind and not pray?
Okay, please, I beg of you. The tit for tat business. One of the things, obviously, is that you guys need to, I would say that you need to discuss. One thing I learned early on in marriage is the fact that men are not, they're not what's it called, they're not mind readers, just like you are not a mind reader. And now you talk, and you knew who you married from day one, that he was not a talker. So expecting him to suddenly, because he has now married, change, doesn't work out like that. Now, you say you are boiling. Have you expressed yourself not in anger? Do you understand? Let me tell you one of the things I learned earlier on. Number one, go and report him to God. When that thing happens, just go and tell God that, Lord, the way I feel right now, I do not want to talk to him. I want to give him a piece of my mind. This is how I feel, and this is how I feel, and this is how I feel. How could he do this? However, Lord, I know that you said that I should forgive. Lord, I know that you said that if my brother does wrong, I should go and meet him, and so on and so forth. Then first calm down, first receive direction. Then also ask God, how do we engage this? Because before now, we have not been able to engage it. One of the things with conflict resolution, it's a whole case on its own. It's a whole session on its own. One of the things with conflict resolution is that it's not pleasant. So we kind of avoid it. So you boiling and expecting him to see, he won't see you. So it's better that you actually first discuss it with God and say, Lord, how do I approach this in such a way that we can discuss it? So before he gets, you know, he's going to ask you to pray at night. So before he gets to the time of praying at night, go and tell him that, sweetheart, we need to talk. And instead of saying, you made me feel this, you did that. Mm-mm, that's not talking. It's like, sweetheart, what happened? Was there something I did? You know, find a way of, you know your husband better. There's no one size fits all. So it's like, is there something I did that made you respond like that? So it's not a case of you made me, you got me angry. He too, his defenses, he may not talk initially, but after a while, his defenses will rise up. Do you understand? And so basically, you can find out what exactly is it? What went wrong? I found out that sometimes doing that helps you. Because if you go with the mindset of you didn't marry a madman. So it's because you feel that he did it on purpose and he wanted to annoy you that you got angry. So if you look at it and say, okay, is he going through something? What happened? Go from that angle sometimes. But first of all, pray so that you first calm down. Learn to report to God. And because you know that you're going to pray at night, ask God to help you to be able to, how will I put it, to discuss. Let's discuss. So you can even tell him, okay, sweetheart, before we pray, something happened earlier on, and I think based on what the scripture says that if we have ought against each other, we need to pray, you know, I mean, we need to discuss it. Let's discuss it before we pray. That's another angle, but the Lord will lead you. It's part of it. And like I didn't get the sister's name. I can discuss a bit more so that I can take a bit more questions, but basically that's it. Secondly, I needed to ask, did you tell him before your meeting that you were going in for a meeting? Did you discuss with him? Or you assumed he should know that you were in a meeting?
I told him I was in a meeting, not when I started. Hey, when we already
didn't
started.
Tell him before. Auntie,
no.
You should have told him before. You see now, those are some of the ways you expected him. Maybe he also had plans before.
Yeah,
so those are some of the things. Those are some of the things. Those are some of the flaws. Before you, please, I'm going into a meeting. So basically,
I didn't get to tell him before. But I was giving him a sign that we shall repay the meeting. Bam,
sorry, auntie. You should have told him before. Now, you know,
why did he walk out?
If he was your boss at work, will you just tell your boss, but can't you see I'm in a meeting? You'd be like, sir, I'm going in for a meeting.
Yeah.
Am I not right? So you see, case of see finish. Next question. Not it for tattoo.
Yeah, anybody else have any other questions? Thank you so much, Sister Simi, for that prompt response to Sister Obey's question. And I think I learned from it too, because sometimes we are at fault not telling our husbands what we're going to do and we just do it, right? Mm-hmm. Anybody has any other questions, please?
Yes,
We still have 8 minutes.
Please, I have a question. Well, when you were talking about the little foxes, there was one you mentioned, I was like, ha. And that was the one where you said that buying things and hiding it. I mean, I do it a lot because men are very different. Sometimes they don't understand why you should have an extra shoe. Or they just think the children, they have enough clothes. Why are you buying extra? So, and you just have to look for a way to, they can't understand. So you have to help yourself. And how does that become a little fox? I don't get it.
Why are you hiding it?
Because I'm not ready for that.
Okay, so how would you feel? Okay, how would you feel if you start finding out that your husband has been hiding things from you?
Like, this one is different. Like, it's not issue.
It's not different. Auntie, it's not different, though.
No, but this one is not issues, though.
Why are you hiding it?
Because you're not going to understand why I need an extra pair of shoes. Oh. When I have... And I just need it. Oh, God.
You're trying to justify it. I don't know. Maybe I'm the one that is wrong. On a more serious note. I just asked a question. If you start finding out that your husband has extra shoes...
Am I the only one that does it?
Maybe you're not the only one that does it.
I'm very guilty of that. Very, very guilty. All the ladies are quiet there.
You're not the only one.
Maybe I married a totally different husband, though. Because on a more serious note, I look at it and I'm like, let's put the shoe on the other foot. Okay, so what if you start finding out that your husband has been buying shirts and hiding it? Also because he thinks that...
Men don't buy things.
No, don't
like
say
that.
No. Please don't say that. I know of a friend that when they give her husband was given some things. Okay, so she was tidying up the house and she suddenly found out that he had You know, she was just putting things away and she suddenly found a drawer with imported toothpaste, a new towel, some other things like that, soap and things like that, that maybe his relative had sent to him here in Nigeria, and he had been hiding it and using it. He was using it. So please don't say that. No, it wasn't something that she found very interesting. She was going all, you know, like, okay, fine, we're doing things together. I assume we're doing things together. But something as simple, I'm not joking. This was not a lie. The guy was hiding certain things. It does something to you when you find out that the person would know. You cannot justify something that is wrong. So the ladies that are doing it, maybe you're saying he won't understand, he won't shake any call, and so on. Okay, let me put it like this. So you feel that you need to tell a lie or to hide something so that he will not. So you need to do wrong. Something wrong, doing something wrong doesn't make it right. What about discussing and actually honestly discussing? It means that your husband, actually discussing why you need this thing. So he says no. Okay, why? Ask him why he's saying no. Do you understand? Ask him why he's saying no. Discuss it. Okay, and then the reason. Okay, so maybe it looks like this is it. Okay, maybe it's next. Maybe it's true. Yes, ladies, if you leave ladies alone, the house will be filled with shoes or bags or whatever it is. And then we're constantly wanting to buy certain things for our children. And the sad thing is that some of you will hide those things and then forget where you hid them. And by the time you find them for the children, it's already too big. I mean, the children are already grown. So you wasted that money at the end of the day. Am I lying, ladies?
No, ma.
Okay. But on a more serious note, it is a white lie. We call it a white lie, but it is a lie. It is being dishonest. Just ask yourself, if you found out that your husband was hiding things from you, how would you feel? For example, he's helping his family and he's not telling you, or he's sending money to his family and he's not telling you. Those ones, that one is wrong. But two wrongs, both of you, which one is the big sin? I'm a little pregnant. And I'm pregnant. Which one is the little sin? All of them. All of them is the same thing. So next one, sorry. But basically, it's being dishonest. That's the truth of the matter.
Okay.
I have a question.
We take one more question, please, so that her next can come up. I'm going to leave Sister
Simi's, I have a question.
Email. Yes,
I can leave her.
Okay, I can tell you my... Okay, I will put my email on the forum afterwards so that we can get it. I can give you my email address afterwards. But yeah, because I think the other speaker is already on.
Okay. Yeah. Just a quick one, Sister Simi.
Yeah, go ahead, please, Gypsy. You still have 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, so for the tit for tat, if it's not from me, if it's him, how do I handle that? Because for me, I would just let it go. But if the tit for tat is from his side, how do I deal with that?
Have you discussed it?
Yeah, sometimes we discuss, but he'll be like, well, you did your own, and now I'm doing my own, you're angry. I'm like, but we already talked about this, so why are you not letting go? Why are you still holding on to it? So sometimes it's difficult for me to reason that why, okay, so I did something wrong. Do you have to be wrong too, so that we'll be equal, or I don't know. It can be painful.
Yes, it is painful. It is. I agree that it is painful. And I also, you know what, I think we should discuss a bit more afterwards. Polake, you can give her my number. We can discuss a bit more. But basically, it is painful. And one of the things that you said is that, okay, so I apologized and he should let it go. Obviously, both of you have been doing tit for tat for a very long time. It didn't just start on this last issue. And it's a case whereby we definitely need to discuss. You definitely need to pray about it. You need to pray for him. Because sometimes when you find that a husband is, I'm sorry to use this word, maybe being petty. What, I don't know what you did or what, you know, because sometimes we minimize our own wrongs and say that at least I've apologized, so you should forgive me now. And then we maximize their own faults, you know. So I really don't know what it is. But it's something that you guys have been doing, and it's a habit that you guys have to break. And one of the ways you can do it, like I said, basically depending on God's grace. You know, if it's a flaw that he has, maybe he's one of those people that from when they were children, they're the ones that their hands have to land on you last, you know, or they come and pinch you and so on. Maybe you may have to, we may have to look at how far back this goes. And maybe to some extent, there was some reason where by you may have deeply hurt him, and now the person is saying that, no, me too, I'm going to do this. You, and the other thing, and he's doing his own, and he's saying, yes, I'm getting my own tit for tat, that's another one. The other thing again is, I don't know the state of your husband's spirituality as a Christian. How submitted is he to Christ? Do you understand? So there are a lot of factors that we need to look at, because truly not doing tit for tat takes a submission to Christ. Not just going to church. It's a relationship and a submission to Christ. And if the person isn't submitted to Christ, I'm sorry, you're going to go through quite a bit of this for a while. But in the meantime, for everyone, just in case you're going through this, one of the things that you can do for your spouse is pray for him. I'm not just talking about praying with the person. I'm talking about praying for him. And if perchance you have an immature, or a young or a growing Christian or a backsliding Christian as a husband, begin to pray the Ephesian prayers. There are those prayers in Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, I think, and I think Colossians as well, whereby you're praying that they get to grow to know the love of God. Do you understand? That Christ be fully formed in them. Do you understand? That they begin to comprehend with all the saints what call God has called them into. So you begin to pray those prayers every day for your spouse, even whether they are young Christians or not. So that you begin to get the best out of them. You begin to get something much better. So that's the little I will say right now. But I would, Folaka can give you my number, and then I'll post my email address while the other person is, while the other speaker is talking, because I think she is online already.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark. God bless.
Thank you. God bless. So, Folaka.
Now I have to, I forgot to unmute myself. Thank you so much, Sister Simi. Thank you. We really appreciate
you're very,
you.
You're welcome.
I'm not taking Patricia, your presence right? here for granted. Yes, my name is Patricia.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much. Thank you for answering our questions. And I know we still have lots of questions that will be coming your way in your email or phone call. And thank you for opening that line that we can access you at any time. So thank you so very much for that open opportunity. And we're going to come back to you in another few minutes after the second speaker. We're just going to take some 5 minutes to listen to some good music, relax, let that word that we just have settle in and meditate on it for the next 5 minutes. Okay, ladies?
Thank you.
Let's enjoy some very good music, some good music coming up.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
What are you doing? I don't want to take this the wrong way, but I'm going to do something.
Hail my Jesus, Hail my Jesus, Hail my Jesus,
Come on, give it to me, lady.
Hail my Jesus,
tomorrow, lots of dancing.
Tomorrow, by God's grace,
lots of dancing. Yes, lots. I can't wait.
Without wasting much of our time, I first of all want to apologize, Madam Shola. I'm so sorry for keeping you waiting. I can see your smile. You're like, this madam. Okay, ladies, we have the money.
We apologize.
Woohoo! The money woman is in our midst. Who else is excited? Gbogbo eyin ladies, I like our trip, our shopping, our vacations. Yeah, okay now. So we are home to the moneyed lady today, and I'm so excited. I'm so honored to have us in our midst today. Welcome, and thank you so much for agreeing to be with us today. I'm just gonna make a quick introduction, and if you don't know Shola Adeshakin, ladies, right now go into your Instagram. You want to learn about making money, managing money, investments. Oh my goodness, Tappy right now and go into her Instagram. And please, even if you are wherever locations you are, she has locations everywhere. We have Canada chapter of Smart Stewards, you know, and we are so, so in depth into learning about finances, managing our finances, and investment as individuals. So Shola Deshakin is a personal business finance coach. She's a chartered accountant for over 20 years, hands-on experience. She's passionate about helping people understand and make, manage, multiply money, message, maximize their resources. She also assists in achieving crucial financial milestones and build true wealth through the concept of financial planning. Through the Smart Stewards Financial Advisory Limited, a holding company that owns the Smart Stewards Investment Club, the Smart Stewards Academy, BookSmart, Financial Solutions, and other subsidiaries, Shola has helped many people, young and old, as well as businesses in over 30 countries, bounce back from financial stress to rest, from debt to wealth, to living amazing lives that they all need. She is an author of currently 8 published books and several unpublished articles. Her various expressions are summarized in her acronym of WEALTH, W for Wealth Connoisseur, E for Educator, A for Older, L for Literacy and Good Enthusiast, T for Talent Coach, and H&I for Advisor. Oh my goodness. I don't even know where to start. So without wasting much of our time, I'm going to hand over to our beautiful, wonderful, amazing financial coach, Shola Adeshaki. Can I hear the mic?
Thank you so much. Please, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, absolutely. Somebody's mic needs to be muted. Or maybe the admin can mute everybody. Yes, thank you. I love the energy in the room. I wish we could just continue with the music, you know, and just have a great time. You know, women, we are the ones getting the knowledge. We are the ones trying to, you know, get all of the things right. We thank God for our husband, and I thank God for Pastor Mabugunje's session. I know there's a lot of responsibility that, you know, naturally comes on the woman, on the women. But, you know, we are up to the challenge. I mean, we are up to the challenge of getting our finances right and, you know, sorting the entire family out. Please just give me 1 minute, just a second. All right, I'm glad to be here. My name is Shola Adeshaki, and tonight, in just a few minutes, I will be sharing a couple of things about how we can make, manage, and multiply money. That is the message I teach. We have trademarked it, and I start from Lagos, Nigeria, even though we've got clients, we've got members in our investment club from all over the world. The money message is very simple. Make it, manage it, and multiply it. So what makes the difference between those who are successful with their finances and those who are not successful is a function of what we all do with our finances. If you can get the concept of make, manage, and multiply money well, you will succeed, right? You see, because what I tell people is you come into this world with nothing. When you leave this world, you leave with nothing, you see? So this money game is what is played right here on earth. Is not, there's no hard and fast rule to it. I have been broke, I've been battered. I mean, I've come out of being broke and been battered with my finances, and I've made a lot of progress, right? I finished school about 21 years ago. I've seen ups and downs, and like Paul said, I've learned to be abased, I've learned to abound. I teach personal finance not just because I'm a chartered accountant. I qualified 20 years ago. I've got accounting qualifications from 3 continents, but that's not what qualifies me or qualified me to teach personal finance. I went through so many things, and I learned from the hard knocks of life. So I teach from a place of, what do you call it now, a place of experience. So I teach using my certifications and qualifications, but better still, and more importantly, I teach from experience. So all the things I'll be telling you tonight, they are things that I have practiced. They are things that have taken me from zero savings to 7-digit investment returns. Mind you, I am not a Kalokalo person. I'm not Sogundo Goji. You know, do you know what that means? You know, you want 300% returns in 2 months or three. I don't teach that. I teach the basic principles of financial literacy. And if you stay with it, it would work for you. It has worked for me. Dave Ramsey, one of my mentors, personal financial mentor, says that achieving financial success or building true wealth is not a sprint. It is a marathon. Unfortunately, my generation and generations after me, Gen Z, millennials, we are so microwave oriented. We want to make money now. We want our investments to return 100%, 500% now. We want to build wealth now. And that's why a lot of people are dipping their hands into so many things. I mean, it is unbelievable the things people do these days to make money. Men and women alike. So you think men are the only ones doing yahoo yahoo? No, you are mistaken. You think men are the only ones doing rituals? No. Women do rituals. I've had encounters. Men do rituals. Women are even initiating their children into yahoo yahoo. I once had an encounter. Somebody who's a woman told a friend and said, I will register my child to learn how to do yahoo yahoo. Do you see? So the world is just upside down. But if you really want to build wealth that gives you sanity, that gives you peace of mind, that, you know, you go to bed sleeping. You're not like, this morning, you know, some of those, I mean, so many things. In Nigeria, we hear a lot. Maybe in Canada, you may not hear about some of these things. But in Nigeria, there's this kind of ritual that they do, that the money that comes to you that day, you must spend it that day. You know, my husband was sharing an experience recently that some guys, somebody saw them at the bar, they were popping champagne, millions of naira. And when they were going home, they took a commercial vehicle, and they were lapping themselves because that money had to finish that night. It just shows you how warped the thinking of this generation is. It just shows you the intense pressure. It just shows you what people are up to make money. But you see, conventionally and traditionally, everybody and anybody can build wealth. It is a marathon, not a sprint. If you embrace the right principles, you would build wealth. It might take a while, but you know what? It is the kind of wealth that you will build, and you will go to bed. You are not like you hear some noise and you're agitated and you're afraid. You will sleep well. You are not owing anybody. You are not chasing anybody. Nobody is chasing you. You are not afraid of hired assassins because they have not taken anybody's money or husband or wife. Do you see? That's the kind of wealth I teach, and I hope that you know, this short session, I would be able to teach, you know, things that will just revolutionize your finances and move you from A to, you know, maybe not Z, but move from, even if it is from A to B, I am hoping that you'll be able to take action. So I want to beg you tonight, if it is only one thing that you will, you know, be able to take out of this session, don't be inundated by the so, you know, much information I'll be sharing, because when I talk about personal finance, I could talk about finance from now to 2 days nonstop. But you see, per person, per time, there's one thing that will just change your financial life, change your mindset. So if you are, some people will move from A to B tonight. Some people will move from A to F. Some people will move from A to K. And some people will move from A to Z. Just make sure you do not remain at A. You know, so I've said my introduction, and I will just share my screen. Please, if you are not muted, kindly mute yourself so that we can have a very seamless and interesting time, and there won't be, you know, interferences and interruptions. So this is what I'm meant to share on, right? The Unstoppable Woman made great by grace. I like the fact that this is a fusion of faith and, you know, secular teaching. I'm a person of faith. I teach personal finance everywhere, in churches, colleges, conferences, and companies. So I know how to sort of moderate myself depending on the audience. But when I say made great by grace, I always tell my people, We can draw examples from the Bible. Abby, we can talk about the Abigail. We can talk about, you know, when you go to organizations or colleges, you have to be, you have to maintain yourself. You have to, you know, sort of guard what you will be saying. So this makes me really glad. And the topic is prioritizing and securing your financial future as a woman. As a woman, I'm glad that this one is not as a family. There are family sessions for personal finance. But this one is you. Everything I'll be discussing tonight, I am addressing you. You can then go and now go and tell your husband, go and tell your children, teach them about it. But you see, I want to talk to you as a woman, woman to woman. And then you go and apply those things. So prioritizing and securing, two important things. Prioritizing. On a general note, I see that women, we do not prioritize ourselves. We do not prioritize the things that would give us happiness and joy. You know, earlier today on my Facebook, on the Smart Stewards Facebook group, I shared a post and I said, ladies, today is a Saturday. Do something for yourself. You see, we are wired to be givers. You are giving to the children, giving to your husband. You're doing so many things. More often than not, it is later in life that women now realize that they have given of themselves so much that they neglected themselves. It happens all the time. I'm not saying don't be interested in every other person, your family, your husband, your children. I am saying that be on the scale of priority. Prioritize yourself. Prioritize yourself too, because you see, at the end of the day, your body is like an engine, a car engine. If it knocks, your life will continue. People will move on to the next car, you see. So prioritize yourself. Prioritize your finances. I tell people the system all around the world is designed to collect from you, right? Taxes, banks, service providers, vendors, everybody. As you're making money, if you do not prioritize yourself and think about yourself, people are like this. The government is like this. The system is like this. Everybody wants to collect from you. So I like this topic, prioritize and secure your financial future as a woman. Okay, she already... Our host already, you know, said a few things about me. But for those who are, you know, meeting me for the first time, this is me. This is all I represent and so much more. The profile is getting bigger and longer by the day. But let's move on. So the woman and her money, prioritizing and securing. Prioritizing and securing. The first three things I would like to say is that, see, your financial success is your responsibility. Women, we blame people a lot. You are blaming your husband. He's my husband. He's the one that said that you know what? He's the one that said he will do this. He's the one that is not doing this. He's the, you know, you blame your husband. Then some people will blame their children. Ah, they are the ones. All the money is going for their upkeep. All the money is going for their school. You know, we play the blame game a lot of times. But A, some people blame the government. If you're in Nigeria these days, we know that our macroeconomic situation is not exactly exciting. And then, you know, people start to blame, oh, it's President Buhari, is this person, when this person was there. The issue is that is who is there right now. How can you maximize the season? Some people are blaming Corona. Corona that has, yeah, Corona is not entirely gone, but hey, we have moved into a new era. Corona shook our world last year, but a lot of things are still happening. Some people are still blaming Corona. Hey, when there are many variants, people have moved on. Those who were, yes, you might have lost your job. I'm not saying that, I'm not undermining the impact of Corona. I'm not saying that, hey, enough of blaming people, enough of blaming the government, enough of blaming. In the world of personal finance, I tell people, see, there are three economies that should interest you. There's your personal economy, there's the national economy, and there's the global economy. Your personal economy is, okay, how do I make money? How do I manage it? How do I multiply it? National economy is what the government of the country you're resident in is doing. In Nigeria, yes, it's not been an interesting season, but we must be interested in what our government is doing. They are shutting the borders. They are doing this. In Canada, what is happening? Don't just say, ah, Kokomio is not my business. Then you're only on YouTube. You're only on Netflix. Watch in Nigeria, they watch African Magic. I don't know if you watch African Magic, but you see, don't just say, I don't know what's the name of your prime minister. Justin Trudeau, whatever. I usually don't get the pronunciation well.
Justin Trudeau.
Thank you. All those politicians. It concerns you because indirectly, it is whatever policies they are making affects your personal finance. In Nigeria, there's inflation, there's devaluation. Did I cause it? Did any of us cause it? No. But policies are affecting our personal finance. That's the national economy. The third one is the global economy. What is happening around the world is affecting your personal finance. You may not agree, but honestly, what happens in Russia, what happens in China, what happens in White House, in America, is affecting all of us around the world. So we must be interested in all of these things. Back to my point. I mean, last year, how did coronavirus break out? And from where? Was it not China? Was it not from a lab, supposedly? But look at what has happened. It went around the world and it has changed the world for good. Okay? So, for your personal economy, you have control over those things. National and global economy, you do not have control, but you must be on top of it so that you can mitigate the risks and you can reduce the impact. I tell people whoever the president of America is, when he sneezes, it is affecting your personal finance because indirectly or directly, policies, life is run by policies and principles. So whatever they are doing indirectly will affect the continents, affect the countries, and all of that, you see. So that's the first thing I want you to know. The topic is prioritizing and securing your personal financial future. And I'm saying the sole responsibility. Let me tell you, I qualified 20 years ago. No, I finished school 21 years ago. I qualified less than 2 years after. For a better part of my career, I was financially illiterate. I was clueless. I was an illiterate. I didn't understand. I thought reading accounting in school would make a lot of difference, but it obviously didn't make a difference in my finances because I was always broke. 14, 15 years ago, I was earning about $500,000, but I was always broke. I wasn't married, and it was just such a miserable life. At some point, I thought village people were disturbing me, and I started to blame. Oh, my parents didn't teach me financial literacy. How many of our parents taught us financial literacy? I mean, it is these days that we are now teaching our children. But if I ask you on this call, how many of your parents taught you financial literacy? Do you see? So I kept blaming my parents. Tamilore, please reduce that. Sorry. I kept, blaming my parents, blaming the account, blaming the kind of job, blaming, why did I go to this kind of school? But you see, when I took, retrospectively, I cannot remember where and how my financial life changed. I think it was when I embraced knowledge, when I embraced the right mindset. You know, it was always a tussle, a tug of war with my finances. I would earn my money. I wasn't married, $500,000. What was I doing with it? Every time they prayed in church, I would go out for deliverance because money never stayed in my hands. But when I took, I took some really bad decisions. I was going to get married, and then with a very good job, I had my FCA, I think, an FCCA then. I can't even remember. I resigned. Like, hey, this man, I don't like what he has done to me, or I don't like the way he's running this. I left the job. And the guy said, hey, my white wedding was in the UK. My boss flew in. My wedding was a Sunday evening. My boss flew in on a Saturday evening, came for the wedding, left back for Lagos on Monday morning to show you how much of respect and regard he had for me. And it was, at that point, it was a show. What's he resigned? Show to what Tony? Yeah, I was happy because I was married. I can, what I didn't figure out or factor in was that my husband to be and I did not say we will wait for a while before having children. But I was just so excited. I have qualifications, Joe. And then I resigned a job that was paying me $500,000. Juicy. And then I now got married. Yes, hey, married life. Came back from the UK after a month. No savings, nothing. And then the search started. Search, you must start to go. And then I got pregnant. Hey, voila. Woo! And my own pregnancy experience, I do not pray it for anybody. In fact, the time I was pregnant by the fourth week, fifth week, you will know my nose will be, fifth week, I'm not exaggerating. And I had severe cases of nausea and all of those things. Ah, one more. And then I now used my own, you know, like Jonah in a ship. I used my own to rob my husband. At that time, to his own very thriving business, they took some, it was a partnership business. They took some decisions. I walked, I know, because this partner is not always committed. Let's get some people to run the business. So they employed people who ran the business aground. So it was a learning point. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, pregnancy was getting big. No job, no savings, nothing, no money. Ah, I said, God, if you ever, ever get me out of this predicament, my life will never remain the same. By the 6 month, I got a consultancy job. And God gave me favor. I went into that office, into that company. And within 4 weeks, I was unable to unravel and unearth some receivables. You know, in I think it was about $1 million plus that they didn't know was there. I reconciled the account. And I went, wow, even with it. So as soon as you put to bed, just come back. You have a steady job. And then after that, I wanted to have my son in the U.S. Gosh, I made a wish. You know, by the time I came, so it was like going back to square one and building all over again. And you see, that's one of the, when I talk about personal finance, passionate, people are like, Shola, and this is your passion. I'm like, I do not want anybody to ever go through what I went through. It is not a nice thing to have had access to money, like you can do anything with your money, and then a time comes, you cannot even say this is 1,000 naira. Do you get? So when I talk about personal, I tell you, you can make a 360 degree change. So precept upon precept, line upon line, I started to embrace, okay, financial literacy. How do I save? How do I invest? I got on my life around. So grace, not only, I thank God. So, but the main thing that changed my life was that I took responsibility. So women, stop blaming people. Remember, I already said it. Stop blaming everybody. Stop blaming the economy. Stop blaming Corona. Stop blaming, oh, they didn't give the, if I was in America, if I was in the, you know, let's stop all of those things. Number two, I want to tell you that, see, by the time you now decide, okay, I am the one in charge, my decisions would be important. I will make decisions regarding my finances that would help me. The second thing is that financial literacy is your plug. Remember when I started, I said, see, forget all of these, bring 300,000, we will now convert it, and then in 5 months or in 2 months, we'll give you 1 million. Forget it. Oh, all of those things don't work. Financial literacy is you building the blocks one after the other. Build it, because if you do not build the right foundation, you don't want your house to fall, you know, like that. After you're finished building, like you don't dig deep. And then you're building, you're happy. Like the Bible says, you know, and then there's wind, there's rain, and everything just goes down. Financial literacy is the foundation of financial success. And when I teach financial literacy, I tell people there are three things to financial literacy. Having the right mindset, embracing knowledge, and having the right skill set. Okay? Then the third thing is take action and then consistently. So these are the three things. I think I already dealt the first one adequately. Do you agree with me? Tell me in the comments. Do you think, truly, this is my responsibility? Have you been blaming people? Let me know. Have you been blaming people? Who have you been blaming? Maybe it's women or lawyer. Tell me in the comments. And then we will go on into the next slide. Let me get a feedback. Let me be sure you have been hearing me. Okay. Who's talking to me in the comments? Tell me, right. Tell me in the comments. All right. Okay. Let me read what they're saying. Yes. Responsibility. Our responsibility. And you know, from tonight we are gonna take decisions that would help us. Okay, awesome. Let's go on. Thank you. You've been blaming your husband. Stop blaming him. Right? You remember the story of Abigail? If Abigail remained at the level, the lady just said, you will not kill yourself. You're a very foolish man. But if Abigail had allowed what her husband had done to hold sway. David would have bounced on them, killed everybody, even including Abigail. Abigail, whoa, David, whoa. Your handmaiden, just forgive all anything. This is our peace offering. It is your responsibility. So let's move on from here. Please let me know how many minutes I have more. So I said financial literacy is a function of three things. Now we know it is our responsibility. What do we do going forward? I'm saying the first thing is embrace financial literacy. It's a foundation. Thank you. Foundation. Let me see what my time is saying. Okay. Foundation. And financial literacy, three things. Number one, mindset. I'm going to start to run now because I've not even started sharing the main slide. The mindset is one thing you need to deal with. I see a lot of people, they want to save, they want to invest, they want to make more money. But your mindset is totally wrong. That was where I was. Hey, it's village people. It's, I think, deliverance. The mindset, it was a constant war with my finances. And that's what some of us think. A lot of us have very, very funny beliefs. Let me see if I can see some of those beliefs. Oh, okay. So look at this. Look at what I have on the screen. What beliefs do you have about money? Some people say, I'm not gifted enough to make much money. Some people will tell you, I counsel and I consult a lot of people. The things that people say, money is not easy to come by. Oh, they say that in Canada and America, you cannot become a millionaire. People in the diaspora say that a lot. One day my cousin called me and said, Shola, you don't understand. I'm a medical doctor. I've been in Canada for 20 years. I know I cannot become so wealthy. I just want to get by. What says that? What sort of mindset is that? By believing that, then you are limiting the amount of wealth you can build. Life is energy. And to a large extent, we attract what we believe about life and about ourselves. If you constantly think, I can't buy, it's only politicians in Nigeria that can make money. That's what you get. And that's why my mind is one of my greatest tools. When I anticipate something, it happens. When I see something happening, it happens. We're having our summit and our annual summit in 2 weeks. And one day I just said, why can't we have Ibukuma Woshika as our keynote speaker? I don't have a personal relationship. But I saw it and I just imagined a very intense and beautiful lineup of top-notch speakers. Trust me, it has become a reality. What are your beliefs about money? Some of you say it takes money to make money. If you don't have money, you can't make money. Some people say the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Some people say money is the root of... Is that what the Bible says? The love of money in the Bible, you get. Money is an expression of your energy. The energy you have about money is what will happen to you. I remember a quote by Francis Bacon. He says that money is an excellent servant, but a very bad leader. Like when you tell your money what to do, it will answer. Don't tell your money what to do. Your money is everywhere. Do you see? So some people will say my background is a limiting factor. I'm encouraging you tonight. Whatever beliefs you have about money, you can share your own with us, because we know ourselves. Some people say, we brought nothing to this, or we will take nothing. Let's just live for the day. Let's live for each minute. No savings. That's a mindset. You see? So we all have different mindsets. And I'm saying that, hey, get rid of any limiting mindset, any limiting beliefs tonight. Some of us, it's a conditioning that is there. You don't even know. But you just realize that when money is involved, you are very upset. I'll give you an example to show that truly my life has changed. 2 weeks ago at Smart Stewards, we had a money weekend where we had a session for children, a session for men only, for women only, and a session for the entire Smart Stewards community. We teach personal finance. We've got members in our investment club in about 30 countries. Mrs. Afolakemi is a member of our investment club. We have a Canadian chapter on WhatsApp as well. So we had to pay for Zoom. I did it, not my PA. So because some of the meetings were going to run concurrently, we needed to upgrade from pro to business. So I upgraded and it was about $199. But I forgot to cancel it because, you know, we just needed it for that meeting. Most times our meetings don't overlap. But I forgot. And then 2 days later, I was so busy. And then I saw a notification. Your invoice has been processed. Your Mercury bank account has been debited. I'm like, Zoom cake. Kilo Shelley. And I remembered that I did not cancel. Ideally, I was supposed to pay only $14.99. They now debited me $199. If it was me of the past, my children will hear it. Because that day, I would just be doing like a mad person in the house. But I saw that email. I'm like, oh, really? Okay. $199. Worst case scenario, they will not refund it. But I will make an effort. So I wrote them and I said, I'm sorry, I forgot to cancel. I don't need it. I've been on pro and I've never owed you guys money. I've been paying you as I went to you. Please, just give me a refund. I'm begging you. And I did an email. As of today, they refunded my money. They just deducted $14. They refunded my money. What has happened? My mindset has changed. So I said, see, even if they did not refund it, I will just blame myself. Next time, I'll be more careful. You see, to cancel. Some of our money, yeah. What about me? $199. Can it come? Mindset. I went out today for a business meeting, and it was a brunch meeting. Yeah. Nice ambience. They gave us nice food. Then I was supposed to catch up with some friends. Marriott just opened in Lagos. And Marriott, that's where everybody wants to go. They have left Sheraton. One room per night is about maybe between, actually, the executive room is between from 250 to 800 per night, 800,000 naira. So a friend of mine, tomorrow is her birthday, so we had to go to just celebrate her. By the time I got there, they said, I got there a few minutes before. Lunch was ending at 4. All my other friends, they had been there all day, they had eaten. So I got there, I'm like, okay, kilon shele. Lunch will finish in 5 minutes. The food is still the buffet style. Should I see it? Ejo Eloni, 15K. Ah, I had the option of saying, JB is almost, let me just go home. And I was partially hungry, but I mean, I could do it. But myself, it's 15K. It's money now. Anything money can solve is not a problem. There are problems that money cannot solve. Maybe not have such. So any problem that money can solve is not a problem. Say, well, today we eat this one. And I had a great time. They were eating now. We were talking. So if I now say, okay, 15K. I just ate and I had a great time. You see, mindset. When you have such a relationship with money, money will come to you. And when you get money, hey, money gives you apprehension, money gives you headache. It won't work. Oh, I need to move. Now, let's go on to the next thing. Knowledge. Are you with me? Are you getting anything? Before I go into knowledge, see some of the things that financial illiteracy causes. Financial illiteracy, some of us are where we are because we do not know. Financial illiteracy is the root cause of financial confusion. The reason you are fighting your husband, the reason you are, some of us, you are just, come on, please, we do that thing. The reason you are always fighting your children, screaming, conditioning here is too much, especially African parents. It's just agitated. The poor children, you'll be screaming up and down. You'll be screaming, financial illiteracy is not good. Many people go into adulthood without the knowledge of financial management. Nobody taught us financial literacy, like I said. Please take that thing out. Normal education isn't synonymous with financial literacy. So you go to school, but they don't teach you financial literacy. Okay? Financial literacy, just 1 minute, is not taught because it is not seen as an important skill set. I'm just trying to let you know what financial illiteracy causes. The lack of financial literacy can lead to living miserably, succumbing to financial pressure and making poor financial decisions. So I'm going to start finding anybody who goes who unmute their call. Each time you unmute $5, please let me be collecting it. Thank you. Okay. So financial illiteracy. But we are moving beyond financial illiteracy. We're embracing knowledge. And that's why we are doing this. Okay. You need knowledge. You need knowledge. And this one I'm doing today is just foundational. From now, you will start to follow those who know. You will read books. You watch YouTube videos. I'm inviting you to join our investment club. I will share the link and Ms. Oke can help me also share. Just know. This is an age when you must know. It is what you know that will differentiate you. It is what Jeff Bezos knows. Bill Gates. All of these top rich men. Oprah Winfrey. All of these guys. It is what they know. We must know as well. And we must start to lay one block after another. Okay, so how do you know? Read books. What are some of the books you can read? Dave Ramsey. I have a book. In fact, I've written 8 books. They're all on Amazon Canada, so you can order them either Kindle or paperback. I'm looking at my, bookshelf. There's 40 Frugal Rules for Your Journey to Financial Freedom. There's the Real Profit. There's Fit to Fly Financial Plan. Just Google my name on Amazon, Shola Adeshaki. All my books were coming. Okay, so knowledge is key. Knowledge changed me. I read books like, sometimes I'm reading like 4 books. Right now, from now to the end of the year, my learning schedule is so intense. I wanted to get on one US exchange program. I spoke to a friend. The friend said, you're supposed to be a facilitator. No, I said, no, I want to learn. I moved from that one. I'm doing another one. Knowledge, because knowledge would change my life. Who is that person? $5. Okay, so knowledge. Now, before I go on, I already mentioned this. The 3 M's of money, make it, manage it, multiply. Now, I've spoken about the mindset. Because of time, I'm rushing now. I've spoken about knowledge. The top thing is the skill set. Remember where I started this conversation from? Let me go back so that you can see. So I said, your financial success is your responsibility. Number 2, financial literacy is your plug. Under financial literacy, I'm treating 3 things: mindset, knowledge, and the skill set. Right? I hope I haven't lost you. Are you learning something? Right. So the skill set. There's no time. I need to rush through this. This skill set will help you move fast on your journey to financial freedom. And it's an acronym called CREST. CREST. Let me run through it. Collaborative skills. This is an age where we must collaborate. In my investment club in the last less than 2 years, we have invested over 4 billion naira. We have about $4 million in different asset classes. Would I have been able to do that by myself? But everybody, collaboration. This day and age, somebody is in Nigeria, another person is in Canada, you're collaborating. The world has become more and more borderless. We can do amazing things together. Okay. Oh, thank you. I have a little bit of time. Okay. Thank you. So collaborative skills, so important. What can we do together? I tell women we have signed up out of the school of gossiping. They are signed out of the school of when you're talking to a woman, it's about another woman. You know, these days we are talking about real estate. We are talking about stocks, US stocks. We are talking about big projects. We are talking about businesses. We're talking about investment, right? Have we signed out of the school of backbiting and gossiping? Yes, me, I signed out so many years ago. I discuss interesting things these days. I'm talking with my friends. Yes, we will hang out. We will have fun. But in the midst of hanging out and having fun, Omo, Shazira, are you talking? What are you doing next? What are we doing? Okay, we went to Marriott and we're like, can we build something like this? Let's put money together. Okay, collaborative skills. If you want to make more money, you must learn to collaborate. What can I do? What can you have a skill? I have the access. You have the access. I have the tax. Combine it. You see, number 2, R, risk management skills. See, there's no making more money without taking risk. I know that our risk levels differ one person to another. I used to be very conservative. I don't want to lose money, or I don't want to. But see, where the money is, the new business is risky. Life itself is a risk. Business is a risk. New business is a risk. Some of you went to Canada, is a risk. Some of us are still in Nigeria, is a risk. You have one child, is a risk. You have three children, is a risk. How do you know you'll be able to? You see, life is a risk. Making more money is a risk. So you need to learn how to take on more risks. Let me tell you, the world of personal finance and investment, sometimes you will lose money. Some other times you will make money. But as you build the muscles, you get, you realize, you'll be able to know, oh, should I take this risk? Should I not take this risk? Should I do this investment? I don't want to do it. But don't say because they say I will lose money, you are not doing any investment. If you do not invest your money, inflation is eating your money already. So you have to build your risk management skills. E, your earning and expense management skills. Ladies, one income is not bars again. Koba. Do you understand? Remember I said life is a risk. If you are just on one income, if anything happens to that income. Last year, Corona happened. COVID happened. 1 minute. Did anybody, if they had told us, if any prophet had told us at the beginning of last year, there's going to be Corona, bankers will start to work from home. People will start to work from home. They say, ah, forget it. You are kidding. This is fake prophecy. On the piece of hell. But you see what has happened. Earnings, you must be able to diversify your income. You must be able to make more money from different places. You can be in Canada and you are consulting for people in Nigeria. Let me tell you this secret. Nigerians, we like abroad things. Even though there's devaluation, the money, the exchange rate is high, we still want abroad things. I'm trying to buy some things for the house. I'm still on Walmart from here. I'm still on Sam's Club checking. And we have our own Gigi. And the reality is, but we just like that. We just feel that when it comes from abroad, it is more quality. And I like. You see, for you guys over there, I just say there's no money. What skill can you teach? Can you consult for people? You are selling products, add services to it. Can you be a personal shopper? I have a friend who works in the bank. She's treasury manager of one of the top banks. Or not treasury manager, but one top person in treasury. A personal shopper is in the UK. You can be a personal shopper to people. You can, we import, export stuff to you. We sell goosey, cash. What can you send home? Form partnership with a good woman, credible person, and do stuff together. Do you see? Earning, diversify your earning. I tell people, let me ask you this question. You want to buy something on Amazon or any of your stores, and the thing is going for $15. But on your card, the only thing is a debit card, not a credit card. The only amount remaining is $14.99. And what you're about to buy is $15. Would you be able to check out? 1 cent is important. 1 cent. So even if the money that is coming in is small, it's still better than no money. It's still better than debit. You see? So learn to diversify. Because we are talking about investments and all of that. It is money you are making that you can use to diversify. So under earning also is expense management. That's budgeting. I teach the 50-30-20 rule. From your money, let 50 go into your necessities. Let 30 go into your nice to have. Necessity is need to have. Nice to have is your wants. Take care of yourself. Eat out sometimes. Necessity is groceries, light, mortgage, and all of that. The remaining 20%, let it go into saving and investment. Actually, I tweak it. I say 50, 20, 30. You save and invest 30%. You see? So, you know, that's how to manage. You don't just spend money anyhow. You guys use navigators. We use Google Maps here in Nigeria too. There's no way I'm going. There's no day I'm going out that I won't bring out my Google Maps. I don't want surprises. I don't want to be. If there's an alternative route, that's where I don't want to stay on the road or in traffic. That's what the budget does for your finances. Of course, savings and investing. Remember, these are the skill sets you need. We've talked about the mindset. We've talked about knowledge. These are the skill sets. Saving, I tell people, is putting money aside. Investing is putting money to work. It's not enough to say, you save, you leave it in your bank account, you go and spend it. Put it aside, when it accumulates, you see, go and put it to work. Invest. I'm going to share a few things that you can do even from there in Canada. Okay? So, put money aside, then put it to work. Saving is building the muscle. Every month, I'm going to be putting $100 aside. I'm going to be putting 30% of my income aside. Good. You're building the muscles. You're doing it consistently. But apart from putting it aside, what do you do with it? You must send it on an errand. And send your money everywhere. Send it to America. Send it to Nigeria. I know there is devaluation in Nigeria. I tell people, if you're abroad and you have dependents, or maybe parents or some people that you're still fending for, you can do investments that would help you cater for that bill, so that you don't have to be sending money all the time. You put your money in viable investments. And, you know, the money keeps paying your people rather than every day, oh, yeah, send the $200. $300. Do you see? You can send your money. Your money can go to places that you cannot get to, but there's no time. Then you need technology skills. This is an age where it's not a matter of age, or everybody, because this is where the money is. On your phone. Apps. Budgeting apps. Saving apps. Investing apps. This is where the money, this is the future. We're talking about blockchain. We're talking about cryptocurrency. I know some of us are still resisting it, but let me tell you, that is the future. A few years ago, I wanted to buy some US shares. It was just one app. And they said I couldn't buy because I didn't have a social security number. Even though my son has, I said, no, I couldn't buy. This day and age, I can buy share now. My portfolio is here, US stocks. You see, I can buy mutual funds all around the world. We need technology skills. I need to start to wrap this up practically. We have talked about taking responsibility. We have talked about financial literacy. Action points. What do we do from here? How do I start to invest? So do you need to save? You need to budget? A lot of you are Canadians. Maybe some US people. Let me know where you are from. You're watching from in the comments. So I can slightly modify this as I teach. Can you tell me where you're watching this from in the comments real quick? So there's Canada. Who else? Tell me real quick. UK, Canada. Awesome. Canada. Okay. Keep it coming. Calgary. I want to give specific examples. Who else? And Nigeria. Who else is telling me where they're watching from? Okay. I have just a few more minutes. Okay. So I see Canada. I see US. Thank you. I see UK. Okay. So, one of the things to invest in, for those in Nigeria, they are Canadian funds, right? I have a friend who is a certified financial advisor or something. I will share whatever with you. You can, I mean, I think she consults for people. There are Canadian funds that you can invest in. If you're in Nigeria, there are mutual funds, Naira funds, and there are dollar mutual funds. These days, I tell people, dollar mutual funds are new. Don't just do Naira, because devaluation. Last year, January, dollar was 360 to a Naira was 360 to a dollar. Today, it is 550 on black market. You see? So that means if you had $360,000 last year, you could have bought $1,000. Today, it will not buy $1,000. Inflation is there too. And so many things. So there are Canadian funds. There are Nigeria, there are mutual funds. In the UK, there are funds as well. In our UK chapter, I know they discuss some of these things all the time. You see, there are US international, US, okay, thank you, Canadian 417, yes, what comes to that? US international stocks that you can buy, right? So I Googled, what can Canadians invest in? Apart from your funds, you can buy US stocks. And the good thing about these stocks, wherever you are in the world, this day and age, you can buy fractional shares. Let me give you an example. Amazon as of early today was each Amazon stock was 3,384. I have it down there, I'll show you. This per stock. Warren Buffett's company, his stock is $420,000. One. But these days you can buy fractional shares. You can buy $10 worth of Amazon. You can buy $10 worth of Facebook. You can buy $10 worth of Berkshire Hathaway, which is Warren Buffett's shares. You can keep buying. When you have $10, buy. $10, buy. And you know what? Your name goes into their database. You have a right to vote. I bought Tesla just a couple of, you know, dollars. Their vote, their annual general meeting is sometimes. I got an email to say, okay, I have the right to vote. That reminds me, I will go and vote. I'm a shareholder. So these days you can buy fractional shares. What are other things you can invest in? Home and abroad, real estate, wherever you are, across the globe, real estate. Alternative investments, example, in Nigeria, agriculture. Earlier today I was, you know, in a brunch meeting with an agro-allied firm. In Nigeria, agriculture, or wherever, agriculture is key. And the agro-allied sector is such a thriving one in Nigeria because people must eat. But there are a lot of scam players as well. They come and buy rice, come and, you know, but you must do it right. Do it with the right set of people so you don't get burnt. For those in Canada, I put together these things. I'm wrapping up already. Fund types, my friend shared this with me. Income funds, balanced funds. I mean, this is SSQ insurance. You can read up about them. Canadian equity funds, foreign equity funds, specialty funds. And I dig deep a bit into them. These are the Canadian funds. See what is returning per annum 1 year. Some of them negative, some of them 6.27. That's small. That's why I know your inflation rate is really small. I don't even know what the rate is. But the fixed income funds are low. So I looked at some of the foreign equity funds. Some of the foreign equity funds, look at what it is returning. Some of them, 36%, 31%. In Nigeria, too, if you invest through Standard Chartered mutual funds, some of their funds returned about 130% between last year and this year. Some of those funds are high risk because you need to also understand that, you know, there are different risk levels, you know. Asset classes, there are fixed income, there are cash and cash equivalent, there's real estate. But see, this is a Canadian platform, and foreign equity funds are returning so high. Look at it. Look at 1 year. But look at the one we looked at before now. Look at the income funds. Look at 1 year. Can you see 1 year here? Sorry, let me annotate my screen. Where is my... Can you see? This is 1 year. Look at it. Can you see fixed income funds? Well, look at... sorry. Look at... Look at the foreign equity funds from Canada. Look at what they are doing. Do you see? Excuse me, let me just take water. Thank you. Canadian inflation rate is presently at 3.7. Thank you. Nigerian's inflation rate earlier this year was 22%. I think it's dropped now. Okay. And then I know somebody mentioned Canadian 417. So this is another platform. I'm sure you understand how this works. This is IA.ca Fund Performance. That's another company for retirement. I don't want to go into details, but I'm going to give the details of my friend, a licensed financial advisor in Canada that can explain some of these things. But irrespective of where you are, these ones, I am very certain. Individual stocks. You can buy American stocks. These are all U.S. stocks. Apple. What influences what I buy is what I use. I use an Apple phone, so I buy. If I'm spending my money on Apple phone, I must enjoy from their dividend. Do you see? So these are just a few stocks. Amazon, look at it, $3,484. But you can buy fractional shares, $10, $20. Google, Tesla, and all of those things. And then I also researched, just give me a minute, please. Where is my... I also researched frequently asked questions on how to buy U.S. stocks from Canada. You see? And it says that can Canadian buy U.S. stocks? You can screen grab this, you know, to help you buy U.S. stocks. We buy U.S. stocks a lot from Nigeria. U.S. stocks are fantastic, you know, but Canadian stocks, I don't know how they're doing. hurt. I mean, it doesn't hurt to buy some of these U.S. stocks. Now, I saw this diagram online as I wrap up some of the sectors you can buy their shares. During COVID, tech was good. Consumer discretionary was average. Energy and real estate was poor, you see. But post-COVID now, good. Tech is good, you see. F&B is good now. Energy is good. Average. Healthcare is good. Financial. So what are some of the stocks in tech? Amazon, Tesla, Facebook, Google, you see. Right. So post-COVID, this is good. Average. For post-COVID, working from home beneficiaries, Zoom has now dropped. Meanwhile, before during COVID, it was good. Zoom shares has gone down. Do you understand? Poor now. Airlines. Not many people are traveling. Do you see? So this is just a guide. Okay? I mean, this is the platform I use or we use in Nigeria. We use Bamboo. We use Passfolio. Passfolio is US-based as well. Look at what... Just... I did this analysis. In the last 5 years, Amazon has grown by 345%. Do you see? Apple has grown by... So, that means Amazon has gained $2,691 in 5 years. And should I mention as I wrap up, investment is for the long haul. Investment is not you put your money today, next month you're looking at it. So sometimes, you know, the prices of things may go up and down, but you are rock solid because you know you are keeping the money for the future. Do you see? In all of this, the most important factor is you. Back to where I started from. Don't blame anybody. Take responsibility. God bless you, ladies. Thank you for listening.
Wow, wow, wow. This is super, super loaded.
Thank you so much, Sister Shola. Thank you so very much. We appreciate all of the information you've given us this afternoon. And honestly, I think this is just scratching, not even the tip. We are still somewhere. We don't know where we are right now, but we need to get to scratching the tip. So I'm sure we'll have you again to give us more and more and more and more, because I know you had a lot, but we just had to cut you short with timing and all of those good stuff. But we thank you so much for even taking out the time to give us those wonderful points. And honestly, personally, I have learned a lot because I'm that type that is starving for knowledge all and all the time. So this is a good start for us. Ladies, we're going to take the next 7 minutes to ask Sister Shola some questions. And the same, I'm sure Sister Fola has her email address for us to reach out to her if we're not able to answer your questions. So please, who's going? Who has a question? Raise your hand, please.
Yes, sir.
Anybody has a question? Or we all just prefer shooting an email with all of the questions that we have? Are we all hearing me, or maybe I muted myself? I'm not sure.
Well, I can hear you, but
we can hear you.
Yeah, I just saw that she's dropped a link for the smart stewards.
Yes.
Yeah, and I just quickly clicked on it, and I saw that we could join for an amount, as it were. So I believe that, I don't know, even if we cannot ask questions here, if we get to be part of the stewards club, we'll get our answers from there. I'm just asking for myself now. So if I cannot, you know, off the top of my head now, because I live in the UK, even though you didn't really speak to my jurisdiction, as it were, but I'm assuming that if I join your club, I'll get a lot more answers to my questions that I might have.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Busola. Anybody else has a...
I want to believe that for me, I still have to digest a lot because it's a lot of information, and it's just for me, it's like a background right now. So I need to take time to digest it and see where I really want to dive in. But I'm really, 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 I was really blessed and a lot of information to sit down and think and, you know, map out plans on how to move forward with. Thank you, Sister Shola.
I have a question. Please go ahead. Okay, can we say that for everything you have said, they are really actual facts? But what I was thinking is, can we say that for some of us who are just new into this, some of us have this mindset that, which is the school of thought I belong to, that I am just the career person, just make my salary, live my normal life, keep my small money. I am at zero level of risk taking. So can we say that some of us belong to that class that you have to take, like, put one leg, small leg, outside first, tiny leg, and bring it back? So that...
I love it. Right. I love the question. And remember I said that attaining financial success is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a... how do I put it? A lifetime journey. Is not, you don't get your finances together. Let me tell you, if you look at all of these richest men in the world, why do you think they are still playing the game? But I mean, the money they have made should suffice and they should go and just sleep and rest. But you know what? The world keeps changing. At some point, it was Bill Gates that was the richest man. Now, maybe he's the third or fourth. I can't remember. It is now Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos is sometimes Elon Musk will overtake him. Times change. The business of yesterday is different from the business of today. The way business is done yesterday is different from today. Technology keeps changing things. So you have to be on top of it. So start from somewhere. If you remember at the beginning, I said it may be just one thing because I will share. See, I've not even shared anything. I can build on this call for the next 5 hours teaching personal finance. But there must be one thing you would want to start from. If it is budgeting, let me just be budgeting. Okay, she said 50, 30, 20%. What am I making, Gongo? What is 50%? How can I spend my money well? How can I be putting money aside? The lady who asked the question, I think it was Bisola about UK. You know, because this is Canada, the impression I had was this is Canada. There are a lot of UK opportunities I could share, but I know we have a webinar replay in our academy resources. If you become a member, you'll have access. Our UK chapter is the most vibrant. I know today they have done a book review. They do book reviews. They provide opportunities and all of that. So one step at a time. Some of you may just be, let me be saving. I want to buy a house maybe in 2 years or more. Let me just be saving. Some of you is I want to try investing. Let me just be buying U.S. stocks much more. Some of you maybe let me pay down my debts. I have a lot of debt. Just take it one step at a time. Some of you risk taking. You can't get, even the best risk analysts, they're still afraid sometimes. So one day at a time, take budgeting, take saving, take debt management, take investing. Take making more money. Some people, for all the things we have said here, you need to even still make more money. Some of us, we cannot even, at the end of the year, at the end of the month, you're not even breaking even. Your expenses are more than your income. How can you save or invest? So we are at different levels, but the first thing is start from somewhere. Know out of these things, what do I need to do? Some of you, no action than to just be reading. Follow people who know on social media, Instagram, reading, YouTube. Some of us, no action, just taking all the knowledge at your pace. Our learning agility or learning metabolism differs. So know what works for you. For some people, what they have heard today, their head is shaking like kilele, this is too much. I totally get you. But unbundle it. There are many pillars of personal finance. Saving is one. Debt management is one. Credit management is one. I didn't even touch on credit at all.
Investing is one. Making more money is one. Pick the one that is right for you and sit down with it. Once you get the hang, move on to the next thing. But I tell you, you need a money circle because it makes it easier. Being in the right community also makes it easier. I hope that answers your question. So risk, you will take bigger risks, but start from the small ones. You know, you say, I want to take my finances more seriously, is a risk. What if it doesn't work? Life is a risk. You woke up today, you have gone out. Grace to me, because anything could have happened. But grace and prayer and a belief that everything you lay your hands upon will prosper. I hope that helps. Right. Okay, there's somebody raising a hand. There's a Bukola Koka. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, Ma. Thank you so much for the priceless nuggets that you have shared so far. I can tell that you haven't even scratched the surface, as we observed. This is timely because just a few days ago, I was asking someone to guide me through cryptocurrency. And I hear that it can be volatile, you know, it's high risk, as you say. So how can we tell when and how to invest in cryptocurrency? That's one. I've lost my train of thought. Yes. And then somebody also talked about cowrie wise investment. I don't know anything. I'm tone deaf where these investments are concerned. So I'm definitely going to jump on your WhatsApp group chat as soon as I get the opportunity. Obviously, we need knowledge, as you say. So maybe a brief guidance on how to go about these would suffice for those of us in Nigeria. Thank you, Ma.
Awesome. Okay, great. So cryptocurrency is just an aspect of blockchain technology. You see, technology is changing the face of finance and changing the money game. Now, most times it's difficult to swim against the tide if you want to survive. Right? You swim with the tide. Cryptocurrency is relatively new. Well, maybe not, but a lot more people are getting to understand the concept. And the essence, let me explain it to you literally, just means that rather than spending cash money or physical money, we want to be using coins. We want to be using crypto coins, right? Rather than spending fiat money like those physical notes, I can pay you in coins instead. Literally, that's what it means. Now, as it comes to stay, we have seen a lot of things happen in the last 1 or 2 years, crypto, this and that. 2 years ago, I didn't understand crypto. When people ask me, I would say, I don't know, it's not going to come, I won't do it. But because I lead people and I'm a coach, finance coach, I went to learn about it. The future of cryptocurrency, the future of blockchain, why do I keep saying blockchain? Blockchain technology. And I realized that, see, a lot of things to come will be heavily dependent on it. So I started to invest by myself, small. I walk to people who know. I put my ears on the ground, started to learn. Right now, I started to invest small. But my own concept of investing is for the long haul. You get. So when I do, I'm not doing anything for it. I don't want to invest and then. So when the market is going like this, whether stocks or I'm not bothered. So I'm leaving it there for the next 5 years. I don't care. Trading is when you buy yourself. No. So I wish I could explain the concept of cryptocurrency more. I know people who say, hey, we want to help you. No, this is not a matter of help. This is a matter. In Nigeria, you can start buying with 7K, 8K. Get the good platform. Get information. So which of them, by the time you review, a lot of science people want people to do reviews for them to assess, for them to pick. You must be a lifetime learner. Okay, so which ones should I invest in? Again, it comes back to belonging to a money circle where, okay, which one should we do? What should we do? You're asking questions from those who know, and those who have practiced or done it. You see, so again, to simply answer your question, cryptocurrency is one aspect of the blockchain technology, and that's where the world is headed. If you are swimming against it, then I won't do it. It's antichrist. It's, no way. Because innovation is changing the dynamics of finance. People keep finding means and ways of making trade more seamless, making transactions easier. Now, governments are fighting against it because, to a large extent, cryptocurrency it's difficult to sort of monitor or sort of clamp down on it. With fiat money, the government can decide that, oh, we want to withdraw money from the circulation or we want to add to the circulation, but with crypto, no way. It's unregulated. So, but it is very risky. But if you're ready to learn about it and do it by yourself, or even if you have people do it for you, you wait for the long haul, you will maximize the whole essence, how that works. So I won't say, 2 years ago, I would say, no, don't do it. But these days, small, but learn the basics and understand how it works. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, ma'am. Cowrywise.
Okay, so Cowrywise is just a platform. Just like my investment club. My investment club is the Smart Investment Club. You have CarryWise, you have PiggyVest. They are bigger. So what we do at my investment club is we bring opportunities to people. Like I said, we've got 7 members in over 30 countries. We partner with the likes of CarryWise, likes of PiggyVest. We bring opportunities across different sectors, real estate, commodities, and so many things. Now, CarryWise is just a fintech company trying to help people save. So they have investment options, they have NIGs, just like PiggyVest, you see. So they are just a platform providing opportunities. So what you mentioned is maybe a kind of product that they do. Whether they are genuine or not is for you to research and review. The internet doesn't lie. You can't hide. So you would read up, but I think they're doing pretty well, just like PiggyVest, right? But what we do is, we partner with all of them and provide opportunities across different asset classes. And you have a dashboard. You can monitor your investments. We do real estate. We do farm. I mean, the meeting I went for today, we've done about $1.2 billion with them in less than a year. Different cycles. The return, some of them return about 40% in 1 year, you know. Because there are a lot of scam opportunities, so you have to be careful so that you don't fall victim of this scam opportunities. Or scam perpetrators.
Thank you so much, Sister Shola. I can really say that you've really blessed us today. I'm going to take the last question just before we close the meeting. And in our platform, last month we were talking about finances, and one thing that most of us had issues with was the issue of financial discipline. And from all that you have told us today, managing our money, investing, you know, making more money, I envisage personally that without financial discipline as women, we cannot really actualize those goals. So I want, from your point of view, I really want to know, because right now, sometime this year, this is a personal confession. I just told my husband, I was like, this is our bedroom furniture. I beg, it's getting bored to me. I want to change it. Let's change it. And he was like, you still sound Yoshish. And I was like, no, I want to put a little change to the whole thing. I was like, okay, madam, once you want something like that, I know you are stubborn. I'm like, you know, after I now actualize that, I'm like, it's anymore. Why Kiri go after doing that? After spending thousands of dollars on changing, you know, the whole thing. So in that line, and I've also in this community as well, Canada, they are begging you, increase your credit, this, you know, they are pursuing you, you know, come and take new car, you know, so many temptations around here that if you are not financially disciplined, you will run into the debt till you retire.
So I'm just so curious. I'm just so, you know, trying to help other women in my shoes in this part of the world. I don't know about in, I know the same thing will definitely be in US. I just want you to enlighten us. How do we get that? Like, personally, I have two financial monitors now. I told them, if you see me buy clothes in the next few months, I must give you $100. Because I'm like, Fola, what is wrong with you? You are spending unnecessarily. I need to save more. I need to invest more. So please, I want you to share with us how we can really get there, how we can really subdue those temptations when they come. Because without it, we can't achieve those things. Thank you.
I love that question. See, in life, and you permit me to explain this very well, we all have different money values. So I'm not a finance coach that will tell you that don't spend money. No, I don't do that. I tell you, see, in life, spending is sacrosanct. Spending is life. Spending is like, you know, the way blood is to the body. Even a young child that you give birth to today will spend money. Because you have to feed him. You have to. A dead person, somebody dies today, even the dead person is still spending money, even though they are spending on their behalf. So life is, whether you make money or not, you will spend money. Spending is sacrosanct. But what I tell people is, spend smartly. Spend on things that give you good memories. Spend on things that will deliver your life objectives to you. Spend on things that will create good, like already, memories that will give you good experiences. Spend on things that will bring back benefits to you in the future. Do you see? Now, coming back to where I started from, I said we all have money values. The reason we want, yes, spend on personal development, spend on expenses, yes. The reason we want to be rich differs from one person to another. Some people were born to very poor families, and they'll be like, well, never. I will make money so that I don't, my children must not experience what I experienced. Their own money value is they want to use money to buy comfort. Some people's money value is independence. I never want to think about money as a hindrance. Some people's money is for impact and philanthropy. Remember, there are about 15 billionaires across the world, Warren Buffett, all of those, Bill Gates, that have pledged their wealth to charity. That when we die, there's no will for children. And their children know. Their own money value is impact. And that's why Bill Gates will keep pouring money into Africa for malaria, for this and that. That's his money value. Philanthropy, impact. The question is, there's something influencing the way you spend money. So you must sit down and say, what does money mean to me? What is my money value? What do I want my money to do for me? Once you do that, then you're able to say, okay, this expense I'm about to do, this decision, does it add to my money value? If your money value is, I want comfort for my children. I want my children to go to the best schools around the world because I want them to go, come out successful. If you have that money value, then you ask yourself, part time, there's a very good furniture or fitting still looking nice. If I change it now, how does it add to my money value? If your money value is comfort and the kind of bed you are using, you know that I don't like it. It aligns with your money because you want your money to give you comfort. You can change it. Another thing I tell women is, see, we must, and I said it at the beginning of this conversation, we must learn to take care of ourselves too. You must learn to take care of your own body. You must, if you work hard for money, you must be able to also spend money on yourself. When it becomes excessive and irrational is where there's a problem. So let me tie it down. Tie it all up. What is your money value? What do you want money to do for you? Establish it. Then each time you take a money decision, weigh it vis-a-vis your money value. Does it add to my money value? Okay. I have 5 pairs of bags. I see another bag and they say, buy me. What is my money value? I want, personally, money to buy me comfort. I want my children, my family to enjoy the best things of life. Do you see? By buying this additional bag, how does it add to my money value? See, it's largely a brain. We must have brain resetting conversations. If you put external systems in place, if I buy this, I will give you $100. It's external. It is a victory, a battle you must win internally first, whereby you see the bag, you are not moved. Do you understand? If you set external controls and the internal one, you will cheat. Because worst case scenario, you buy, you don't tell them. How would they know? So settle it within yourself. Financial discipline is internal and it is personal. There are things I can afford to buy, but I'm like, so I've been using, I bought in my car, my current car from America. It's 5 years. The car is still serving me, like, still firing well on third mainland bridge. Good car SUV. Today I thought about that. I can buy myself a new car. Okay, if I buy myself a new car, yeah, for societal, whatever. But do I really, 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 on a scale of absolutely need to have, do I need a new car? Maybe not. Maybe later. Maybe I can. Do you see? So I'm not, you know, that impulsive spending pattern, I've caught the wings. I'm not just wake up and say, can. If I don't buy, I won't sleep. Mm-mm. So because I have worked on myself. So you build discipline. Know your money values, right? Yes, have accountability partners, but the greatest battle, the greatest victory is obtained from your own personal personal decisions. I was going to say something also that can help, you know, but I just forgot now. You know, so it's largely personal and individual in nature. So spend on experiences, spend on the future, spend on what aligns with your money value, spend on yourself, then save. If you say comfort is your money value, peace, and you're not putting money aside, where is the comfort going to come from? If there's any little thing, you go and incur debt. So we must have conversations with ourselves. Some of us, we shy away from telling ourselves the truth. And if you haven't gotten to that level, you will continue to do financial anyhowness. You see anything? Some of us, our financial muscles are so weak. You have to build it. He's like, my husband does a lot of exercise. He's not big, or he's very trim. He still does 6 days, 14,000 steps per day. I am the one trying to lose weight. Today, it's not convenient. Tomorrow, it's not convenient. What he does to his own body, will he show my body? No. What I do is what shows in my body. So if you do not build the financial muscles, nobody can build it for you. Then there's another practical rule that can help you, the 24-hour rule. If you feel very strong about buying something, there's that impulse, give it 24 hours as a rule. If you feel the same way after 24 hours, then buy it. Or some of us, we go into a mode, you see, I will buy. If I don't buy it, I will die. Don't buy it. Say 24 hours after, if I feel the same way about it, then I'll buy it. Most times, that initial gra-gra, that zeal wears off. Do you see? So it's a combination of internal and external factors. External factors, accountability partner. Let my husband also be a signatory so I can withdraw the money. But if you have not won it to say, I will do this, I will not do this, then nobody can help you. So build the muscles. Do the financial exercises. Sometimes it's a mojukuro. Just remove your eye. Like it, move on. I won't die. Is it need to have? Is it nice to have? I hope that helps.
Thank you so much. One of our sisters told me that Sister Shola just gave us a knock in the head.
Wake up. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Thank you. We really appreciate your presence with us. And we know this is a great sacrifice of time for you to join us today. So we appreciate you. We know it's nighttime already in Nigeria. So we are grinding up immediately, and we are just going to do a quick prayer just for you and the other speaker. You know, you guys have really blessed us. You've released the divine virtues today, and we are going to pray just for divine replenishment as well. And thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. And please, I just want you to know you are still coming back for us. Thank God. I can always lock you down in the Canada chapter. So you are still coming back. We need you more. All my ladies are like chatting me privately or concerning this discipline stuff. And we need more of those. We really, really need that constant, you know, monitoring and constant reminders of those things. So please, probably might not be this year, but sometime we are still going to have you back with us. And thank you. We really appreciate you. Thank you. So Patricia, can you round up the meeting, please?
Thank you so much, Sister Shola. We really appreciate you, as Fola have said. Thank you. Thank you so much, ladies, for your patience. We know we've gone past the time that we were supposed to, but you know how it is. This is a very touchy topic, and that is why we gave her a little bit of time so many of us can gain from our experience and put them to use. So thank you so much again, Sister Shola, for answering some of those questions. I know you're going to get a lot of questions in your email, so be set. You're definitely going to get a lot. Most of them won't say anything now, but I know they will come with their questions. So ladies, let's just thank God for our speakers. Let's open our mouth and thank God for what we've enjoyed today. Let's thank Him, because the only way we can actually make use of those things we've learned today, it is because they are coming directly from Him. So let's thank Him. Let's give God thanks. Let's thank Him, because every one segment of today's event was a blessing. Let's say, Lord, we give you thanks. Jesus, we are grateful. We thank you because we know every one thing we've learned today came straight from your throne. And we thank you because everyone, every aspect of today's agenda as we have planned, Lord, you've even gone above and beyond. Lord, we are grateful. We give you thanks and we celebrate your faithfulness. We thank you, O God, for your word. Thank God for the speakers. Thank God for how He used them to enrich us today. Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for our speakers. We thank you for how you use them. You use them as your pen indeed. We thank you, O God, for the virtues you gave them and they gave to us. Our Lord and our Father, we come to say, O God, that you replenish them, O God. Replenish all our sisters, Sister Simi and Sister Shola, O God. Father, replenish them back, O God. Give them more grace each and every one day, O God, in the name of Jesus. We ask for total enrichment, O God. Total enrichment. The strength they've exhausted today in talking to us and teaching us. Father, give them a more bountiful fold in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus, O God, that which we've drawn from them, let it be replenished. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you thanks and we worship you, Lord Jesus. Take all the glory, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Before we finally go, let's remember, ladies, we still have the part two of the event coming up tomorrow. Sister Fola is sending in the Zoom invite, and I know it's for 2 p.m. Canadian time, and that's like 9 p.m. Nigerian time and UK time. So, ladies, this is the first dose. Tomorrow is the second dose. For whatever we are going to do, get it done in time and let's get back here and refresh ourselves once again. And come with your dancing shoes because we're dancing tomorrow. We are dancing tomorrow. Thank you again, Sister Shola. Thank you, Sister Simi. Ladies, before we go, let's share the goodness and then we'll say good night.
Yep.
Surely. God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Sister Fola, do you have anything to say before the
lockdown? Thank you. Thank you, ladies. I really appreciate your time. You guys made this a glorious event. Thank you. I really appreciate it. God bless you all. Tomorrow, come with your dancing shoes, impartation of fresh grace. But Pastor Maureen, we are going to have a refreshing time in the presence of God tomorrow. So wonderful, ladies. Thank you. I see you all tomorrow. Stay blessed, and you are unstoppable in Jesus.
Thank you. Good night, everybody. Good night.
Thank you. See you guys. Love you all.
Bye.
Yeah, thank you.
had me saying, please wait. Shola had me saying, please wait. Admin team, please wait. Admin team, please wait.
Is it me or I didn't see Sister Bola today?
I don't know. She joined in briefly and then I don't know. Do you guys think? We made it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God be praised, God be praised, God be praised. Even though the devil want to try from the beginning, but God, with the event and with the
the connection.
The connection and stuff. I don't just know what went wrong, but thank God. I'm really happy that God took control and that was rectified on time. Thank God. So thank you so much, Patricia, for the coordination. That was amazing. I really appreciate it. The dancing session was a good one too. So we'll prepare for more of that tomorrow after Maureen goes. We dance, we play, and we, you know, just thank God and celebrate the goodness of God as we receive a fresh impartation, you know, to continue in this vision. So I want to appreciate every one of you. Jibola, Kaleo, Ojeki, fine, Nieto, Pede. Pelu Begele, yeah, in fact, that your gele was something else.
I know, and she didn't allow us to see the gele. She just closed up.
Exactly. So I really want to appreciate you guys. Without you guys, this would have not been possible. And by the grace and mercies of God, I really want to say thank you. Thank you so much. So let's have our rest. Busola, thank you. We know you are already in your sleeping moment. Thank you for still staying with us. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, so sorry. I've changed my pajamas.
So after tomorrow, we are going to have a brief meeting. We just try to, you know, make like a scrutinizing this thing.
Not tomorrow.
Maybe sometime in the group we just chat about it and just say, okay, what can we do better next time? You know, what do we need to improve on? Stuff like that. So I just feel that is what we are going to do next time. Okay?
I think Sister Simi is trying to connect.
Okay.
So send her a private message that the program is done.
Sister Simi. I will talk to her later. Sister Simi, sorry, we are done. Did you join back?
Yeah, I was testing something. You know, I tried to sign in.
Okay.
I had difficulty signing in, and I wasn't even the only one, apparently.
Yes.
So I said, let me even try it again.
Okay.
So I just said, okay, let me try. Then when I saw that it was still connected, it was like, are they still on?
The devil is a liar. We had like, for the first 30 minutes that you were speaking, I don't know. People were just chatting us that they can't log in and stuff, but
yeah,
thank God that the Lord took control of
it. Because I had to use Brother Shola's own. He was one that signed in, used his account, Orishirishi and all that, which is why his picture is showing.
Okay.
You know. So I just said, let me, because he was wondering what went on. So I said, okay, let me try. Because before I shared the link, I'd already tested it and he would tell me straight, I'm Folakemi, okay, it's private. So I said, okay, so that's the link. And then lo and behold, Odeni Lojikwe Kima signed. You have I had to sign in with my email and password.
Wow.
You know, was requesting that. So I just said, let me test it. And so they were still, you were still on. I said, let it not be that you guys are the first one.
We are just having a quick admin meeting.
No worries. Sorry about that. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed yourselves.
Oh, perfect.
We did. Thank you so very much.
It's been amazing. I will send the recording to you.
Yes, please. Thank you very much. I'd appreciate that. So have a nice evening tomorrow. I'll try and join in as well tomorrow anyway.